Shalom, damn it! It's 11 o'clock at night and time for Dave's Gone By, a comedy talk show on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. It's not the best show on the radio, but let's face it, do you really deserve the best? No, so sit back and settle.
There goes the Daverhood!
The guy David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome on this Super Bowl Sunday to our 303rd edition of Dave's Gone By. Unlike the little snippet that you heard just before the show, this is not an encore presentation. This is brand new. We are live here on this February 1st, 2009, with a show called York New. I'll explain the meaning of that in a moment. But first, I want to say hi to my special guest co-host, as usual, Mr. Jeff Goodman.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jeff. What's the matter? You're...
No, I'm only kidding. I'm fine.
I mean, I think you're a little disappointed that Arizona did not...
Oh, I was so excited. Arizona almost came back and won the Super Bowl. No, I'm actually, it's okay because they really performed well. So.
And it bothered me because, you know, I watched parts of the game. I was also trying to work and eat and do some other things. And then I had to come out here and get to the radio station. So at the point that I left the house, Pittsburgh was basically winning handily. It was like 20-7. And it didn't look like Arizona was going to mount anything because that one big charge that they had was kind of reversed when they had that 100-yard world record Super Bowl run back. And I thought, okay, this is going to be Pittsburgh's night. When so typical. I leave the house, and then Jeff tells me everything I missed in the last 12 minutes of the game.
It was a great 12 minutes.
So, oh well, I guess.
That took at least an hour and a half.
Well, hopefully this will be a great 60 minutes here in the neighborhood, because we're going to have some fun. It's going to be kind of a looser, a little bit of a looser show than usual. We're going to have our one guest tonight is a fellow named Jim Morgan, or James, as I sometimes like to call him. He is the artistic director of the York Theatre Company off Broadway.
I like him.
Not the founder, but he's a great guy, and I wanted him on the show a while ago. Because one of the cool things that he does is before every show, and they do musicals, they bring back famous musicals, or sometimes not so famous musicals of the past, and give them a second chance. And they do it in sort of a homey way, but they're very professionally done, with full costumes and full, not quite an orchestra, but usually a trio or a quartet backing, or at least a piano. And they do a really good job, and one of the most fun things of an evening, even when the musical's maybe not so great, is he'll get out there for 5 minutes and make some jokes and talk to the audience and do it in such an amusing way that I thought, this is a cool artistic director to talk to. Aside from the fact of having just seen their production of Enter Laughing, which was a musical version based on Enter Laughing that used to be called So Long 174th Street. You wonder why that show failed on Broadway. The title was it right there. But
it starred Robert Morse.
It should have... Seeing this musical, you only wonder why it wasn't a big hit. Because with the way the York does it, it is so fun and so funny and so delightful.
But it's also based on one of the plays that everyone does in high school.
Yeah, I mean, so familiar material. Right, and a cool movie with Carl Reiner and René Santoni and whoever. So, and they brought it back because Enter Laughing was such a hit for the York Theatre last season or last year that there was so much clamor for it that they brought it back off Broadway. And I'm so glad they did, and I got a chance to see it. So seeing that show last week made me really want to talk to Jim Morgan. So hopefully he will be calling in a couple of minutes, or I'll be reaching him, and we'll get to talk to him about the York and about theater and musicals and things of that nature. We'll also be doing Inside Broadway this week, as we usually do, where we'll talk about a bunch of Broadway news, because Jeff and I haven't been here for the past 2 weeks, so got a lot of stuff to catch up on. I'll also be talking about a couple of shows that I've seen, including Sword of Shaolin on Broadway.
Song of Shaolin, was it?
No, it's Sword. There's Sword? No song. Well, there's maybe one or two songs. This is, I guess, a Bruce Lee kind of a thing brought to Broadway.
Well, it's really performed by monks,
They're actually monks from a Shaolin temple,
right,
in China, and they're...
Well, this is part of the religion that they have to do these... these are like dance exercises.
Right, and they break things on their heads, and they kick, and they twirl, and they throw weapons at each other.
And
this
it's
is their
quite
religion.
Amazing.
It really is. It's a lot of fun. It's sort of reminiscent of a show that was off Broadway last year called Jump, which was more funny oriented and more like the who's the famous Japanese funny physical actor? He came after Bruce Lee. He's the most famous martial arts fellow, Drunken Master.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know who I'm talking
about. I know who you're talking about.
If you know who I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, give me a buzz. 631-888-8811.
Do you hear what the words coming out of my mouth? He's with that one, right?
Maybe. He's one of the most famous stars in the whole world.
It's nice the fact that we don't know who he is.
I'm just so brain dead after this week. I'm just like barely on one brain cell here
what
tonight.
What is his name? It's like a Who or something. It's his last name.
No, who's on second?
I don't know.
I don't know what's the guy's name in that movie. No, what's in the... Okay, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we'll be reviewing that show and also The American Plan, a revival of a Richard Greenberg drama, now on Broadway with Mercedes Rule and Lily Rabe. So, cool stuff on Inside Broadway, and then if there's time, we're going to go off on a bunch of stuff that just, you know, is in my mind and I feel like yakking about and making some jokes about.
Oh, good.
Jeff just loves my jokes. We've got to get to our special guest. So let's play some commercials, and we'll be right back to continue with this edition of Dave's Gone By live on Super Bowl Sunday night. Don't go away. And the answer is Jackie Chan. Thank you for person who called in to let us know that. Jackie Chan is the drunken master that we were thinking of. But now we're thinking of... We're not thinking of film, and we're not thinking of chop socky. We're thinking of theater and musicals and things of that nature. As I mentioned before the break, I'd gone to see this past Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, the revival of Enter Laughing by the York Theater Company. They're off-Broadway. They're over on Lexington Avenue on 54th Street. They're actually situated in the giant CityCorps building. Well, as long as CityCorps is still around. And had a wonderful time. I enter laughing. It's tremendously funny, even though on the night that I went, of all times, it was a press preview, too, so I wasn't the only press person there. Jim Morgan is on the phone. He's the artistic director of the York Theater. Very proud to have him with us. And Jim, do you want to explain what happened on this week? It was kind of interesting.
Certainly, Dave. Thanks, first of all, for having me on the show.
Most welcome.
We've tried to work it out for a long time, and I'm glad it's finally worked out, even though I'm down in Florida. The elevator went out, and with some people in it, including, I believe, two critics, and it was, it has happened before, sadly. This time, it took longer to get taken care of. It was something like half an hour.
Oh, well, yeah, no, the show didn't start until about close to 9 o'clock, so
it almost
killed an hour of time, but rather than everybody sit there and grumble, because, you know, people will give like 15 or 20 minutes, but then the natives get restless.
Right.
This is what you got. I mean, this is the kind of theater that it is. First, what did you do?
John Spala, who's one of the understudies, one of the standbys for the cast, who's a wonderful entertainer and pianist, which is one of the reasons he's doing... what he's doing in the show, volunteered to come out and entertain the audience. So he played and sang a number of songs and with a little chatter and kept everyone entertained. And then Stuart Ross, our wonderful director, choreographer, musical stager of Enter Laughing the Musical, Stuart and I talked Joe Stein, who's the book writer of Enter Laughing, and he's also the writer of the play, the playwright of the play, Enter Laughing, upon which the musical is based.
Mm-hmm.
we coerced Joe into coming out and talking to the audience and answering questions. And he's a wonderful guy, wonderfully personable. He really doesn't like doing things like that. So it showed how much he cared about the situation and cared about the audience for him to do it. But and he ended up having a great time, and I think the audience did too.
It was such a wonderful New York moment to go to a show, and there's all, you know, there's technical problems and stuff, and then what happens, the guy who actually wrote the show, who's got to be close to 90 years old, or certainly in his 80s, and, you know, comes on out, the director of the show, they talk to the audience, they take questions. I mean, it's the kind of thing that can only happen. You know, it's a wonderful New York moment, and it's the kind of thing that can happen in the York Theater. I think that's really sweet. What is the actual mission? You might as well tell people what the York Theater is all about.
Our mission, since I took over as artistic director in 1997, is to help develop and produce new musicals and to rediscover notable gems from the past, which may have gotten overlooked for one reason or another. Our main emphasis is on new works, new musicals. Musicals is all we do. Musicals are all we do. And so our main emphasis is on new works, but a couple of times a year we do our Musicals and Muskie series, which is sort of our very esoteric, very scaled-down version of the Encores series. They're shows that Encores would never do because they're less mass audience, and we've discovered some incredible gems in the series, such as Enter Laughing.
Oh, so that was first a Mufti work, and then you tried it out as a full-scale production. Cool.
Yeah. It's the first thing we've done like that in a while. Early on in the series, we did Mata Hari in the Mufti series, and it was so successful we brought it to a full production, and A Doll's Life, which was another show that had gotten a bad reputation from its initial outing on Broadway, and the authors of, well, both of those shows were still alive and did considerable work on both of them, both for the Muftis and for the full production. Betty Comden and Adolph Green wrote A Doll's Life with Larry Grossman, and they all went back to work on it in a very impressive way. And the show ended up getting extremely respectable, if not more so, reviews its second time out. So we are very proud of that kind of experience that we can offer both writers and audiences. And the same thing, even more so, has happened with Enter Laughing.
There you have a real, legitimate, solid hit on your hands. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yes.
Was there a thought of bringing it to Broadway after that initial run last year?
There was a thought, and a number of people expressed interest. No one stepped forward to say, by gosh, I want to be the one that moves it. A number of people stepped forward and said, wow, if you move this, I'd love to put some money in. So one of our reasons to bring it back, other than the hundreds or maybe thousands of people who tried to get in the first run and couldn't, is to hopefully connect with that magical person who sees the commercial potential of this show and move it to either off-Broadway or Broadway. Given the size of it, it's a cast of 14, we all kind of feel that it is a Broadway show, albeit a small Broadway show. It could get killed, as I think you would agree, that if it were in the wrong theater, if it were too large, it would lose a lot.
Right. Well, also, but, I mean, it sounds really nice with a little, you have a three-piece combo backing the show, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the Broadway you can add a couple of musicians. Maybe that would be
it. Well, we just recorded it. It will come out, the CD will come out on the J Records label, soon. Exactly when, I'm not sure. But we recorded it with an orchestra of 7. So that already is a possibility for a Broadway run.
By the way, Jeff Goodman is my guest co-host on the show, and he wants to ask a question of Jim Morgan.
Yeah, hi, Jim. We've met before. You may not know who
I am. Yeah, Jeff. Hi, how are you?
Good. But I think you also have to remind people that you've also had very successful revivals of things like Merrily We Roll Along. You had something transferred to Broadway just a couple of years ago.
Souvenir, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was from you guys. Cool.
Yes. And Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
Transferred to Broadway. Our revival. Ours was the first Broadway revival. Not
you were the teeny
not
Sweeney.
The most recent one. Teeny Todd. Yes.
Teeny Todd. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But and then also there's something very interesting that you do in your lobby, or you used to do, is those the show cards, where you link the two together.
That was a particular we have an ongoing series of exhibits that we're very proud of. The changes from show to show. That was a particular exhibit that I put together, sort of an audience participation game for our run of the Musical of Musicals, which
yes.
also moved
that was another
commercially.
Good one. Right.
And the I forget the title of the display. It was something like six. The idea of 6 degrees of separation or something, but it was something like 150 pieces of sheet music.
That was
presented side by side on the walls of the lobby, and you had to find a link which took you to the next one. And people spent intermission and after the show and before the show and lots of time trying to figure it out. And there are a number of ones that stumped people.
Oh, it was absolutely the most fantastic thing to do in a theater lobby for me at least. I loved it.
The only thing that was equivalent was when the Jewish Repertory Theater used to be around. It was either that or the American Jewish Theater. They had the wall of shame of anti-Semitism. And anytime there was something horrible anti-Jewish in the papers, they'd post it. This is more fun.
But this is like this Broadway word jumble or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I asked Jim also if he would make a book of it, but there was a problem.
Yeah, we didn't own the rights to any of the material,
right?
Any of the artwork. It's a wonderful idea for a book, and I would love to pursue it, but just getting the rights to those...
It's like the current...
But just so you know, all these years later, I remember talking to you about that, and I just love that. And I mean, if you do publish it, I will be the first one to buy a copy, I promise you.
Well, thank you.
I think it's the best thing ever.
The current exhibit, actually they have one there, is kind of... A little bit gut-wrenching because it's all the famous Hollywood stars and the cigarette ads that they were in. And they were posted all up along the theater, and you see, I don't know how many of them died of lung cancer, but it's probably a sobering number.
That's the fascinating and scary part of it. These people, these famous people selling us cigarette ads. And it's the collection, from the collection of a guy named John Shack, who came to me about a year ago and said, I've been collecting these for years, and I just wonder if you might be interested in a display in your lobby. I love your lobby displays, and I'm not sure what show it would tie into. And I immediately thought of Enter Laughing, because in it is the Butler's song, made famous by George Irving and now being wonderfully performed by Bob Dischy, which lists star after star, Hollywood star after Hollywood star that the lead guy in our play, the lead character in our play, is supposedly having romantic interludes with as the butler talks to Greta Garbo on the phone. Mm-hmm. And so seeing how many of these Hollywood stars, divas, were in John's collection of cigarette ads made me think of doing it during this show, and it's been very successful. And now that we've just reopened the show for an extended run, we've added something to it. It hadn't gone in the night you were there, Dave.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'll have to come back and see the show again and see
it. You must
come
back and see it again. It involves additions to the display involving cast members of the show. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Have you ever thought of just making a book about your lobby displays? I mean, you come up with the best ideas.
And how do you...
I've thought of it, and then it often gets down to rights. Again, a number of people say, you've got to put these cigarette ads in a book, and we don't own the rights to them. So.
Well, how did it come about that you started doing, I wouldn't say they're famous, but they're kind of known, the pre-curtain speeches? Because a lot of people, you know, they'll send someone up there to say, these are the fire exits, and we have, subscription tickets for sale out in the back, and, you know, there's one intermission, please turn off your cell phones, bye. But you turn it into this whole, like, 6 or 7 minute exegesis, and the audience doesn't mind because they're so much fun. Did that just develop naturally, or what?
Thank you. Well, they did. It happened because the York Theatre Company was founded by a wonderful woman, a wonderful friend of mine, a wonderful friend of many people, named Janet Hayes Walker. And she was the spark plug and the, well, she made the whole thing happen for 25 years or so, and or more. And I took over when she passed away in 1997. But prior to that, there were a number of years where she was ill with cancer and was fighting it very diligently and valiantly, which is the way she did everything. And they had given her 3 months to live, and she lived for 3 years. And but she was really the face of the company, and it was her company. And even though I had been there for 22 years or something at that point, there were a lot of people who had no idea who I was, and I wasn't hurt by it. I wasn't hurt in the least, but a lot of people would arrive at the theater and find out Janet was not there at that performance and be crestfallen because they didn't know who else to talk to. There was no other face on the company. So it was in there that I started doing these curtain speeches, sort of to give, not to take anything away from Janet, but just to say, here's someone else you can talk to, and here's some of the stuff we're up to. And I soon realized that just getting up and making a speech about what's coming up or what is going on is not enough. You have to be at least moderately charming. And there are people who seem to feel I fill that bill at times.
Well, you are immoderately charming, absolutely, well, when you do those speeches. Yeah.
Thank you. So it's a way of connecting to people, and it's a way of getting word out about what we're up to. And it's been wonderful because the number of people who come up to me then in the lobby feeling they know me and start talking about all sorts of things, ideas they have for shows or connections they have that might be useful to us. And it's really a wonderful way of connecting to people.
That's very true. I mean, I feel I know you. Like, we met like two or three times, but I really don't. I know who you are. I don't think, you know.
Imagine that happening at, like, Manhattan Theater Club or the Roundabout. It just doesn't.
No.
I mean, everybody seems so ivory tower once you get up the ladder.
Well, that's something I realize. That's one of the things I think that sets us apart, is that people talk continuously about the warmth, the family feeling of the York Theater Company. And part of it is to do with the number of, everyone does a speech, someone does a speech at each performance. I do it at many of them, but I can't do it at all of them. So someone is out there at every performance to try and connect with the audience.
I think
and
that's wonderful.
People,
yeah.
People seem to respond to it.
Now, let me ask you, we're talking to Jim Morgan, the artistic director of the York Theatre Company. Now, the thing is, these days it now costs about, you know, anywhere from $8 to $12 million to do a Broadway musical. How do you guys get by on the budgets that you have to do what you do?
Well, it's a combination of things, and it's very tricky in these economic times. And there, happily, it doesn't cost us anywhere near that to put on a show. One of the things we believe is that it shouldn't. I'm not talking about Broadway, but to be able to see good entertainment, good musical theater entertainment, it should not cost you $125 for.
And how much are your tickets?
Well, our tickets normally are in the $55 range. For this return of Enter Laughing, I have to say we raised the price to $67.50 because it seems like we have a very hot ticket, and there are plenty of people who are very happy to pay that. There are also discounts available. You can find them online and on our website and in our newsletter, so there are ways around even that price.
And we should also make it clear, there are some fairly well-known people in Enter Laughing, so that may raise your budget as well. I mean, you've got Bob Dishy, you've got Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker that people may remember from L.A. Law, Marla Chappell, Tony Amini. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, Bob Dishy and Marla, who are new to the cast, are both Tony nominees and Drama Desk winners. But also heading the cast, as David Kollowitz, is an up-and-coming, it's dangerous to say, but...
a star in the making.
A star in the making, absolutely right. Josh Grizzetti. And he's, if he were the only person in the cast, he would be worth the price of admission. But happily, we have this incredible cast surrounding him that measures up to him in every way. So we're extremely proud of the production, and that's why we brought it back.
Now, also, if they want discount tickets, do you have a subscription that they can
We
draw?
Actually don't. Which is interesting. We were on subscription for many years. We then went to a membership format, more like Lincoln Center and a few other theaters. And we were meeting with a consultant about 3 years ago who said, you know, subscriptions and memberships are really a thing of the past. People hate them. It's that, of course, makes no sense when you're talking about Roundabout or Manhattan Theater Club or Lincoln Center. She said, if you're one of the big boys, for the time being, you're absolutely fine. But she said, you know, you've never had a big subscription base, and people really hate that kind of commitment, knowing that on May 1st they are going to see your first preview of such and such show. People more and more don't like being tied down that way. People love to support a theater they believe in. And she said, obviously, you have a very strong audience base that believes in what you do. She said, cater to them. Offer them deals when the time is right. Make them feel appreciated, and they will continue to support you without a subscription base. She said the other day, without a subscription setup. And she said the other danger about a subscription, particularly in a market like New York City, is that you end up marketing the subscription as opposed to marketing the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So the shows that you're doing get lost in all the hoopla about, here's the deal for our subscription. Come and get this much off for each show.
Yeah.
And she said, particularly when you're doing new shows, such as we do, you need to spend all the time you can finding this specific audience for that show that may respond to that particular material. And so we have gone in that direction, and we are finding that it's extremely successful.
And how do the people get the discounts?
They can go to our website, www.yorktheater.org. Make sure you spell theater R-E, the pretentious way, yorktheater.org. And you can also, well, actually, I will give you a code that you can use.
Oh, cool.
That people can use to get 25% off.
Excellent.
It's Laffin, L-A-F-I-N. You have to spell it that way, L-A-F-I-N. And you'll get tickets for $50. And you can use them, do that on our website. You can do it by phone at our box office, which is 212-935-5820. Or you can do it in person at our box office.
Excellent. Oh, I'm so glad we got that for our listeners. Also, can you tell us about stuff that's coming up?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Our Musicals and Musty series is going to start in... Is it May? I think it's May. Sorry, I don't have the... I'm down in Florida doing a show, and so I don't have any material with me, but I believe it's in May. Again, you can find us out on our website and get on our mailing list so that you receive our newsletter and either by email or snail mail.
You're not smoking, are you?
No, I'm just... No, I'm not.
Okay, just
happily,
checking.
I don't smoke. Though I was deeply inspired by the advertisements in our lobby, I still have not taken it up. But I seem to be getting a cold. Going to Florida.
Last quickie question for Jim Morgan, the artistic director of the York. Actually, it's a double question here. The first is, what is your all-time favorite musical? And what would be your all-time favorite lesser-known musical? Maybe that'd be a different answer.
Well, gosh. I really hate questions like that, because I have too many favorite musicals.
Okay.
Someone putting together a book of a number of people's 10 favorite musicals got in touch with me a couple of years ago and asked me to be a part of it, and I just couldn't. I didn't want to even limit myself to 10. There are too many wonderful shows out there, and I know too many people who've written wonderful shows, and I would hate the thought of hurting people's feelings by not including such and such a show. I don't have a favorite. I would say that my favorites range from... Pacific Overtures, to Sweeney Todd, to 110 in the Shade, to the Grass Harp, to...
Because you've done so many of these plays, like your children, right? How do you choose one of these plays like your children?
Well, that's the thing, that you you begin to be so close to the material and to the people who write them. It's been wonderful in this position I'm in to get to know these people.
And I also think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that you're actually going on your 40th anniversary.
Yes, we're actually beginning our 40th season right now, and we're extremely excited about it and revisiting in one way or another some of the shows we've done over the years. Talking about getting to know people, one of the great things over the last couple of years has been our work with Joseph Stein, who wrote, as I mentioned, the book for Enter Laughing, but we did a series of 7 shows of his in the Musty series, including The Body Beautiful, which was the first show that he wrote with Jerry Bach and Sheldon Harnick about 5 years before they wrote Fiddler. And they even had sort of forgotten it. They knew, of course, the basic show and a number of the wonderful songs, but it had never been officially recorded. And so we have made the first and only official cast recording of Body Beautiful, which has just been listed on theatermania.com as one of the top 10 cast recordings of the year, on a list that includes Gypsy and South Pacific. So
well, as
really
I recall, Sheldon Harnick was on the show last year, and he was talking about that production of The Body Beautiful, and how happy he was to see that revived and to see that done again. And I've got to say, we're just so happy to have people like him and people like you coming on the show into the neighborhood and sharing your expertise and your love of theater and love of musicals. All we can really say is just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing, and may the York have another 40 or 80 years to go of doing exactly the kinds of things you're doing now.
Thanks, Dave, very much. I really appreciate you having me on and talking up what we do and believing in what we do. That makes a big difference.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com. Yes, we are going inside Broadway. We were in off-Broadway there with the delightful Jim Morgan of the York Theatre, but there's so much more theatre to talk about, and it's a very theatrical episode here of Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, February 1st, 2009, here with guest co-host Jeff Goodman. So we're going to be talking theatre, including, we've done this story a couple of times, because it keeps coming back every half a year or so, that they're doing 20 for 20 again. Certainly can't blame them with the economy. Now through February 8th, you can get tickets for 20 different off-Broadway shows for only $20 each if you show up 20 minutes before showtime and there are tickets left to those shows. So among the...
So it's 20 for 20
for
in 20.
Exactly. Among the shows are Altar Boys, Aristocrats over at the Irish Rep, Dear Edwina, which is kind of cool, Forbidden Broadway, Fuerza Bruta, Lansky, just that Mike Burstyn on our stage buddy show a couple of weeks ago, Naked Boys Singing, Perfect Crime, Stomp is up there, Sleepwalk With Me, the very well-received Cripple of Inishman revival that they're doing. All of these things go to 20@20.com for this really you
it's
heard
a great deal great
even
deal.
Even what the York Theater is charging for their discount tickets is like $50. These are off Broadway shows for 20, so it's a really
these are deals that will not be back.
Well,
until next year,
next 6 months, right? Hey, Macy's is open for business. William H. Macy, that is.
So clever. Is he going to become a thermometer too?
I think he'll stay healthy. And because there's only like three more weeks of the run of Speed the Plow.
But just so you know, they did recoup their investment.
Thanks to him. Because what happened was Speed the Plow, the Broadway show, the revival of the play by David Mamet, was on course to do pretty well at the box office. Because it was very well reviewed. It had Raul Esparza in it, Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, and the star was Jeremy Piven of Entourage. And he got good reviews, they all did, and then what happened, Jeff? You know what happened.
He ate a little too much sushi.
Way too much sushi. And according to him and his publicist, got mercury poisoning. Aw, and couldn't go on with the show.
To which David Mamet said he's going to become a thermometer.
and a thermometer who was apparently out at night clubbing, even in the midst of, being not well enough to perform. If you read the post and then the other stuff, he was probably just bored doing 8 shows a week. He's not used to that. He's used to good life of film and television. Well, anyway, they had to find someone real quick because they were just on the verge of recouping their money, so they got Norbert Leo Butts to do the role for 2 weeks while they got William H. Macy, who was busy learning the part. Macy came in, got great reviews, and although the show is still going to close in the middle of February, they make a profit off it. So I guess it's a happy ending all around. And it's a pretty good show. You saw it with whom?
I saw it with our little thermometer.
With Piven. I thought he was good.
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah. So, good show. Probably a slightly better show with Macy in it. They're saying mainly because Macy's 20 years older than you normally get for that part. Mm-hmm. And it makes him more likely to go through a life change and more likely to reconsider his options and what he's been doing all these years in the middle of Hollywood. So,
did you see it with Macy or no?
No, I saw it with Piven.
Oh.
So, now, let's see. What things are coming up soon. Even though we're in a terrible economic slump and all those shows closed in January, Broadway goes on, including an upcoming show called You're Welcome, America, a final night with George W. Bush, who is played by...
Saturday Night Live.
Right, Will Ferrell.
Thank you.
Is going to do it. It's a limited run, and it's opening this week at the Court Theater.
But it
on
started
Broadway.
Performances, ironically... January 20th.
Which was the swearing-in day?
Which was inauguration day. So, of course, George Bush finally finished his run in office and moved right to Broadway.
I'll bet that was probably the plan all along.
That was. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's been doing unbelievable business.
Yeah, go figure. And they say satire dies... on Saturday Night. People still like satire,
it is
I
completely
guess.
Sold out. Or it has been.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
It has been 100%
hope we get
attendance.
To see it. Because I'm kind of curious to what it is. And then there's another big show that's going to be starting previews this week at the Niederlander Theater. I know you're sad because that's where Rent used to be.
Yes, I know. But it's a good show. It's called Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, you've heard of it. We've seen Guys and Dolls. They're reviving it again. But you know what? Guys and Dolls is actually one of those shows that should be on Broadway all the time, no matter what.
Well, at least every 10 years.
Fiddler and Guys and Dolls should. Those are ones I don't mind that they're taking up a theater for years
and
at a time. Well, no, Grease I mind very much. But Guys and Dolls not. And dig who's in this edition of it. Craig Bierko and the lovely Kate Jennings Grant. She plays Sarah, the Salvation Army lassie. And the funnier...
Lass.
Sorry, I'm thinking of that.
You're calling her a dog.
No. No, it's based on that old Irish hymn of the Salvation Army lassie and her tambourine, but... I'll explain the reference later. Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls is going to be playing Adelaide opposite Oliver Platt as Nathan Detroit. In the last Broadway revival, remember who played those two?
That was Nathan Lane and Faith Prince.
That's right. So, some pretty big shoes to fill.
You're hitting me with all these questions today.
Well, because I figure you'll know them or you'll get close, you're pretty good at this stuff. And then we have one other show that is starting this week on Tuesday at the Booth Theater, smaller show, called The Story of My Life, featuring Malcolm Getz and Will Chase in this sort of small-level musical. It sounds kind of cute, and it's gotten some good press, ramping up to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of sad news this week. We did lose someone in the Broadway circle. Age 83, after battling cancer, I guess, for a couple of years, Roy Somlyo died.
Why do I know that name?
Well, he produced or managed more than 100 shows on Broadway or on tour. He was the first managing producer of the Tony Awards. He was very involved in the Tony Awards, of course, during those last couple of years. He worked as a general manager for bunches of years, going from 1948 as a production assistant on a show called Goodbye, My Fancy, all the way up through the 1993 production of a really lousy thing called Gypsy Passion. But in between, he worked a lot with Alexander H. Cohen, one of the last impresarios. And he was also doing a lot of work with the Drama Desk last couple of years. So Roy Somlyo, never particularly close to the man. He never seemed like a man you really get close to. But he was certainly a major player, and it's sad for Broadway to lose him. By the way, I do want to remind people also, in a theatrical vein, that Saturday nights at 6 o'clock you can see me on stage, live, hosting a cabaret talk show called StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live. We've done about over half a dozen of them, and they're going really great, and they're getting more professional every week. Tickets are free. Just go to StageBuddy.com to find out how you can get them. And there's food and drinks at the thing, so you can get those too, although those you have to pay for. So check it out at the Times Square Art Center every Saturday night at 6 with me, Dave, StageBuddy.com. Well, going to review a couple of things right after we get back from the break, but want to tell you once again about Performing Arts Insider. There is a season, turn the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, because this is the season for Broadway. All the big shows are opening in the next few weeks. Learn about them all. For 64 years, Performing Arts Insider has been the Bible of Broadway. Find out why by going to PerformingArtsInsider.com. Subscriptions are 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. So turn to Performing Arts Insider for every show. Show Under Heaven. And we're having a heavenly time talking about theater and Broadway on this edition of Dave's Gone By. I wanted to talk about a couple of Broadway shows that opened in the last week or two that I saw and want to tell you about, including, I mentioned before, Soul of Shaolin, which features actual Shaolin Temple Wushu martial artists doing their thing. They hook it into a really melodramatic and almost silly storyline about a woman whose baby is given up for sort of orphanage adoption thing, goes into the temple, learns all the cool, funky martial arts fighting things, and then, you know, kind of goes on his way, and he has a fight, which you're not supposed to do. It's kind of funny that here they are. All they do all day is meditate and fight, and yet they're not actually supposed to fight each other. And what are they trained for? It's like going into the army and saying, yeah, you know, you're really not supposed to punch each other. But anyway, it's a silly storyline. The whole point is really to put all these monks up there and let them literally jump around, fly around, kick each other to pieces, break things over, you know, with their heads, fight with fake swords and fight with these block things. It's it's not surprisingly. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Much in the way that I enjoyed that show Jump that the Korean people brought in last year. That was more of a farcical, funny thing, so that I think I enjoyed a little bit more, but there was more dazzle, more real razzle-dazzle choreography to Soul of Shaolin. So I've got to say, I've got to give that kind of a real recommendation here. I feel almost embarrassed to do that. You may hate yourself for enjoying it, but you're probably going to enjoy it. Now, another show that is enjoyable most of the way through is a comedy drama by Richard Greenberg, one of our most talented playwrights. He wrote The Dazzle and Take Me Out, Tony winning show.
And The Violent Hour.
And well, that was awful. He's not always one of our most talented playwrights. But when he's on, he's on. And he's on most of the time in the play The American Plan, which was done off-Broadway about 15 years ago. And now, for some reason, Manhattan Theatre Club has decided to bring it to Broadway, maybe because they knew they could get Mercedes Rule for a major part in it, or maybe they knew they had the right actress to play the young daughter. And you've seen the show in the original.
I saw it originally, yes.
What's the plot?
Oh my God, it's about traveling.
Well, no, it's this mother, Holocaust survivor, or at least the daughter of Holocaust survivors, and they have this summer place in the Catskills, right on the lake. And so the daughter is a bit on the neurasthenic and hysterical side. She makes up a lot of stuff. She's has mental problems, but she's not crazy crazy. She's just difficult and
she's everyday crazy.
Yeah. And so she ends up hooking up with this nice, seemingly rich boy from non-Jewish boy from across the water, and you know, the mother is sort of trying to get them together, or is she? Or is she trying to break them apart? And if she's trying to break them apart, is it because the guy's not good enough for the daughter, or does she have other reasons that the guy really isn't good enough for her daughter? So then there's all these things. It's quite a complex little story that they're weaving, and it's very good first act, and nobody writes dialogue like Richard Greenberg. He's just, I wish I could quote his stuff, but it swung out of my head. But when you hear it, you go, oh my God, I've got to remember that line because it's so good.
His characters say very, very clever things.
Yeah, it's like they go beyond funny. Sometimes they're almost downright profound. He's that good a writer. Mm-hmm. So for the whole first act you're going through, it's a little slow, but you're getting involved in these people. And it's not this wild, boisterous comedy. It is a drama. You're getting into it. And then he throws in a plot twist in the second act that I'm not alone in going, oh, does it have to go there? Like I heard audience go, you know, breathing to themselves and going, and I don't want to offend anybody out there, but it does. It goes from being this play about the mother, the daughter, and this gentleman caller to a gay play. Just like, boom, within the course of about 30 seconds. And as much as gay plays can be wonderful, and we have dozens of them, this one didn't have to be one. Except Greenberg forced it to be one, and made that part of a backstory thing. And he makes it work, and it does ultimately hook together at the end. But for a while, the whole second act feels like, oh, no, we don't want it to go there, and it gets a little dry and choppy. Did you feel that way, or were you cool with it?
Now I'm trying to remember how I felt about it. It's so long since I saw that.
Well, 1991, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I do remember, I don't think I was actually bothered by that. But that was also the time of the gay play.
Well, exactly. Every other damn thing on Broadway, right, or off-Broadway then was, it was actually an off-Broadway show, and now they've done it on Broadway.
Right.
So, I mean, it's understandable, that's why it was written that way, but kind of disappointing. What brings it back, though, is in the final scene, Lily Rabe, whom, you know, I've never been all that crazy about. I don't think she's extraordinarily pretty or extraordinarily talented, and I find her voice a little annoying, but boy, oh boy, she has a moment where she convinced me, and she has this little, it's a line at the very, very end of the show, and it's a great line, and she delivers it with such force.
Can you say it or not?
That I was not, I want to, because I don't want to spoil it for people looking to see. I'm just, it really catches you in the throat, and it brings the whole play together in a way that just knocked me out. And that's why I can still definitely recommend The American Plan. Even though I didn't like Mercedes Rule. She's
really
getting real actressy now, and I didn't buy her accent, and I just felt like she's pushing. She's not being it, she's just playing it. And that bugged me. But the other actors are quite good, and as I said, if you want to hear some of the best dialogue, not always the most authentic-sounding dialogue, but the cleverest and wisest dialogue, you got to check out a Richard Greenberg play. And that one is The American Plan at the Samuel J. Friedman on West 47th Street. Well, that's Inside Broadway, but
I have one more thing.
Sure.
That I was reading. Do you know we're getting a new Usnavi?
Oh, for In the Heights.
If you want to see the original Usnavi, you have to hurry the next 2 weeks, because I'm trying to remember his name, too.
The new one or the old one?
The old one.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That's it.
Yeah. He also wrote the show.
Yes. But he's leaving it to Javier Munoz.
Javier Munoz? I've never heard of
him. He's been in the cast forever.
Oh. Well, good. Well, congratulations. See, people move up in the ranks.
Yeah. No, but I just thought it was... I don't know why, but I just... Lin-Manuel...
Miranda.
Well, I can never remember his name.
But he's so good.
No, it's great, but I'm just wondering how it's going to work without him doing it. And I never ever thought of him leaving the show, did you? He, like, just seems to enjoy every single
second.
Yeah,
right? And he's also got this huge hit on his hand. It's a Tony-winning show and very well recommended. But I certainly wish him well, and I wish his replacement, Mr. What was his name again? Javier Munoz. Well, that's what happens when you go Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. In my humble opinion, the best way to spend an hour of entertainment is listening to my radio show. The second best way is to come to the Times Square Arts Center every Saturday night at 6:00. for StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live. It's a cabaret talk show with live music, comedians, magic, Tony nominees, a great show every week. And it's free if you're a member of StageBuddy.com, which is also free, so do it now. There's food and drink and a one-hour show that puts you in a great mood for a night on the town. And did I mention that I'm the MC? So come see Dave the Stage Buddy in Times Square, 669 8th Avenue near 43rd. Visit StageBuddy.com for more info and to see videos of our past shows. See you on Saturday night. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Yes, this is the time of the show when I get to kind of go off on a few things, things that are on my mind or things that have been happening in news and things. No, see, Jeff is rolling his eyes and shaking his head, but this is not the news gone by. This is kind of different. This is
I know what this is.
So
go
about
off already. I don't care.
Okay, fine. I don't know how we all feel about Barack Obama. We're all hopeful, of course, and I think I'd like to think that most of the people listening to this program voted for him. But did you get that feeling when he was being sworn in that here he is, he's just becoming president, and the very first thing that happens goes wrong?
Well, that wasn't his fault. It was
I don't care whose
justice.
Fault it was. You can rehearse that.
Well, the Chief Justice didn't care to.
I mean, come on. I mean, he gets up there. He's swearing in on the Bible in front of millions of people watching. People mooning about
knew
all
it.
Over.
He knew it.
But he was like, I, Barack...
Hussein. No, he was fine.
One moment.
No, he was fine because he heard the Chief Justice say it wrong, and he didn't want to say it wrong, which is why later that evening they did it in the map room.
And then there was a controversy because they did it quietly and not in front of everybody, so it doesn't count. So they actually have to do it again.
No, they're not.
You know, but you get the feeling that while all this was going on, Karl Rove was in the background looking at this and going, you know what? I think we really are getting 4 more years of George Bush.
No. Oh, stop it, Dave. Now you want to know why I was rolling my eyes before.
Well, what do you think?
Barack Obama's doing fine. He actually picked who he wanted to win the Super Bowl, and they won. He's a
magical man.
No, but every other president is like, oh, I like both teams. And it's so noncommittal. I like the fact that the man commits.
Let's just hope after a couple of years he won't have to be committed, you know, in that job.
The Super Bowl owner worked for him, so he goes, I wanted them to win the Super Bowl. You know, it was like, so I think it's great. I like the fact that he makes the decisions, and he's already closing Guantanamo Bay. What we're going to do with those people, we don't know. But
we'll probably put them in a hotel on 8th Avenue and 48th Street, and they'll have little hot plates.
Well, let's get hookers to all infect them.
Oh, well, you know, good idea. I like the idea also that the mother-in-law is living in the house. I think that's kind of a neat thing.
Did you hear his interview before the Super Bowl today?
No.
He loves her. He says usually when
well,
Michelle...
Well, what the hell is he expected to say?
No, but he says when he and Michelle fights, the mother-in-law takes his side.
Oh. Well, he does have this little caveat. Is no matter what, he's the president of the United States. Did he lose the sock? He didn't lose the sock, darling. He's the president of the United States.
I know. Well, that was the fun thing. He was talking about his daughters also. You know, they're actually making friends. Really? Who doesn't want to be president?
I know. Exactly. I'm glad he's getting along with her because I don't know if I want to live. I love my mother-in-law very, very much. But would you want to come home after a day dealing with world leaders, dealing with the press picking at you, dealing with all that, and then coming home and there's your mom-in-law?
Yeah, but your mother-in-law, but she's taking care of the kids.
Of course, exactly. But she's also going to be the one, like, if you have a bad day,
and
if someone goes to war or something like that, or unemployment goes up again, and she's like, you know, my daughter Michelle could have married Bucky Temperman, and he just opened his 8th laundromat. I don't know.
No, I really think it's a good thing, but, you know, you can go off on it if you really must.
No, I'm just wondering about something like that. But speaking of going off, would you mind telling people the radio station that they are listening to?
You are listening to WGBP Freeport.
Very nice job.
That was our legal ID. Dave knows I love to do the legal IDs. And by the way, we should remind people that actually gospel is supposed to be starting now, but the gospel is
running
a little
late. 12:05 is when they
come
on. Yeah.
So, but they will be here, and until then, we will be here.
Exactly. That's what we do. And this is the segment on Dave's Gone By called Dave Goes Off. But speaking of fellas going off, how about that guy Tony Lupo, who you feel bad on a certain level, the guy who shot up his family. He was in debt, he was no job prospects, and lost his job, so what did he do? He went home, he shot his wife, and he shot his five children, or four children, I think he had, or five kids. So, what I don't understand...
Did he kill himself?
He killed himself. They all do that, and that's what I don't understand. If you're going to kill your wife and your family, don't you want to be around a couple of days just to enjoy the peace and quiet? Why go through that?
David, that is just awful. Awful. During gospel hour, no less.
Just for a day or two, you figure you just want to be like, nobody nagging you, the kids not jumping on you at 7 in the morning to make them pancakes. It's like, all you got to do is sprinkle a little Lysol on them. And then you shoot yourself when that gets a little boring. Like even that guy who shot up the Amish schoolhouse about a year or two ago. He lined them all up, tied them up, and then shot them and set the schoolhouse on fire. And then he killed himself. Wouldn't he have wanted to walk around Amish country for a day or two without someone selling him pretzels? That's what I want to know.
Terrible.
What a waste.
David, you are a horrible, horrible person.
I know. And then, speaking of the lovely little children, you've heard, I know, about those parents who named their children after famous Nazis.
Yes.
Do you remember the names of any of the kids?
Well, Adolf Hitler is kind of...
Right. The young boy is Adolf Hitler, and the girl is Joyce Michelle Aryan Nation Campbell. That is not a joke. That is her actual name.
Yes,
Joyce,
I know.
Aryan Nation.
And then there's also a Goebbels?
Someone who sounds like Heinrich Himmler but isn't. Like Zachrich Nimmler Campbell. And they took the kids away.
Surprise,
from this couple. Surprise! I mean, it's like, because they're saying it's a kind of child abuse, and while
I... You know why they did that?
Why?
They didn't have a right to do it.
Oh, I'm just so swash-ticklish about this subject, you know. But
if naming them is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, I do believe parents should have the right to name their children what they... Or to have some privacy in raising their children, but I get the point of why... They
and
took
the funny
the kids
part
away.
It all started because they wanted to get a birthday cake for Adolf.
Right, and the guy wouldn't do a cake with a happy birthday Adolf Hitler on it. Gee, I wonder why. And then the state got involved and took the kids away. But I'll tell you something, maybe what's in a name, as Shakespeare said, but that little Adolf was a strange kid. Like when he was 3 years old, he was playing on the playground, and his parents turned away for like a minute or two, and he had annexed the playground across the street. So, and they asked him why he did that, and he said, today, the sandbox. Tomorrow, the swings! So, a little joke. And then as he got older, started going to school, one day he smashed all the glass in the chemistry lab. The worst was one morning in home economics. The teacher came in, and she said, Adolf, good morning. Where are all the other children? And little Adolf was like, check the ovens. So, sorry.
You are a horrible, horrible person.
See, these are jokes I wanted to do in my Stage Buddy show, but I didn't get a chance to, so I get to air them out here, This is my monologue. This is my A material.
You are so good. Lucky you didn't do that on you. You would have gotten pooed off the stage.
Thanks, I know. Oh, man.
There wouldn't be many buddies for you left.
You know what, Jeff? We're going to move right into Dave Goes Out now, so why don't you do the... some of our sponsors. Do you think you can do them this time?
No.
Give it a whirl.
Well, there's always that famous deli, the Woodrow Deli, where everything's free. No, that's a little joke, because if you remember the intro in the show, I kind of said, let's talk about the pickles, and they were free, and I just said, it's all free. No, the Woodrow Deli is not everything's free, but they're in the Peninsula Shopping Center in Hewlett, And it's a wonderful deli. It's kosher. It's open 7 days a week, even though they're kosher, because you wouldn't expect them to be open Saturday, but they are. So everything's wonderful at the Woodrow. You say, and it's W-O-O-D-R-O, no last W. And it's lovely.
Perfect.
Then there's the Copy Kings of Broadway, Hewlett Minuteman Press, which I'm much more ready to do, because they're 10% off for all you Dave's Gone By listeners. And they're right next to Lohmann's Shoes, which is no longer in existence.
That's right. Lohmann's Shoes walked away.
But they're across from Lohmann's.
They had no soul.
And it's, by the way, not everything is free there. It's only 10% off.
It's only 10% off, but it's 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press.
And then there's always the Performing Arts Insider, to which you get an excellent discount, because that also is not free, like the Woodrow, where everything's free. No, I'm only kidding.
No, Performing Arts Insider, I'll say it right now, it's an expensive journal, but worth it, because people in the industry pay.
It's the Bible of Broadway. What
do
you want?
That's right. But it's a lot cheaper for Dave's Gone By listeners, so go to davesgoneby.org, and I'll tell you how to get a cool discount on Performing Arts Insider Theater magazine. And also, everybody go to davesgoneby.org to see pictures of me. Not that anybody would really see that.
Well, this way you know who to aim for on the parkway.
That's right. I heard the Nazi joke. Yeah.
Well, wait, not on the parkway. It's usually my car. Stop that. Don't
right.
Don't aim for him. I just keep reminding me what an awful, awful human being he is.
That's why I keep him around. He keeps me humble. Actually, my wife does a good job of that, too.
Who we should thank? The lovely Joyce.
Well, yeah, that's at the very, very end. I'll thank, of course, my beloved and adorable and terrific wife, Joyce. So, I was also going to say about davesgoneby.org is that that's the place where you can hear dozens of older episodes of this program. Real celebrity guests, lots of fun with not just Inside Broadway, but some sketches that we do and funny songs. And you never know what you're going to get on Dave's Gone By, but you can go back and hear bunches of them for free anytime by going to davesgoneby.org. Now, we did forget to thank our other sponsor, Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Who are they?
Well,
oh, everything's free there, too.
Are they really? Well, you're the proprietor. You heard it. You heard it first.
The air is free there.
Jeff, well, no, it isn't, because you have to pay for the helium.
No, but the air is.
The air is
free. Helium's not free.
That's true.
Air is free.
So what do you do, Jeff, for fancy balloons?
I don't know. I decorate large parties and make more party in a nice way, without Hitler.
Well, if someone wanted a Hitler-themed party, would you do it?
If they paid enough money, sure. I didn't say I said you're a horrible person. I'm just I'll do anything for money. I'm a balloon ho.
And now it's Jason's bar mitzvah in Germany. Hitler pops out of a cake. Oh, to the Shabbos, everyone! Don't even know what that means.
Me neither.
Oh, Lord. Let's see, what else do we have to do on this Dave's...
What else can you get for free? You know, let me Google free stuff. So we can give away.
Well, also, I want to remind everybody, as I did a couple of times, but StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live, 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
And it's free!
Yes, again, that's another free thing. At the Times Square Art Center, that's on 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd. So it's right in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. You can go do a matinee, then do this show, or go out to dinner right afterwards, because you're out by 7. And
or you can have, dinner
time.
There, they have food.
And if you go to StageBuddy.com, you can see the trailer for it. They've got that up there. They've got a whole little page for it. It's really neat. There's even a special homepage for it if you do StageBuddy.com/live. And that's where they have the whole big special. And they're going to be putting the episodes, because they're taped for television.
Oh,
so they're going to be putting those up in the week or two, yeah.
Now, Dave, this is absolutely true. You know what? You can also get free cosmetics.
Ugh. Why? Well, I'm not big on... I don't like makeup very much, but what?
Well, for your wife. You can give it's like a good Christmas or a good gift. It seems that...
Actually, I like my wife without makeup. I think she looks better without it. But okay, yeah.
But it seems that Macy's and everyone was overcharging for cosmetics or something.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So there's been this thing for, like, the next couple of months. If you just walk into Macy's and go, I want my free makeup, they give you free makeup. It's like...
We should do that.
I know. It just sounds so absurd. I heard it on the TV, like, 3 times. It's like, I'm dying to just walk into Macy's and go, Estee Lauder counter, I want my free makeup.
Well,
and they give it to you because what they're trying to do is make up for...
Sure. I mean, I want to be made up like David Bowie on Aladdin Sane. I want my free grease painting. I want
well,
the zigzag.
Well, they're probably just giving you a little gift box.
Yeah, I realize that.
But you can actually get free makeup just by walking into Macy's.
Until when?
I don't know.
Because it sounds like it was that story a couple of weeks ago.
I will look
with,
this up.
Was it Guns N' Roses and Dr. Pepper? Where Dr. Pepper made this thing that if Guns N' Roses ever released Chinese Democracy, the most recent Guns N' Roses album, that they would give everybody in America a free can of Dr. Pepper. And so, but because the thing was, Chinese Democracy wasn't, it was 15 years in the making. It was never going to come out. And what do you know? Finally, who's the lead singer of, there's Slash and then there's...
I don't know. But here, but I have the makeup in
Jackie Chan, I think is...
One free cosmetics. It's yours for the asking today at Macy's, Bloomingdale's, Saks Fifth Avenue, Neiman Marcus.
Just today?
Carson Perry Scott. The giveaway is a result of 2004 legal settlement in a case that accused cosmetic companies and retailers of price fixing. Although the companies deny any wrongdoing, the settlement requires them to give away $175 million in makeup to customers who purchased products between 1994 and 2003. No receipt? No worries. They're operating on the honor system.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Customers claiming a free product will need to sign a form stating they're eligible.
Oh. Because, you know, you're going to have drug dealers wandering there, and they're like, I want my free makeup.
The giveaway runs while supplies last through January 26th.
January 26th?
Yes.
Oh, so it's... Well, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Any
now,
remaining items...
A week ago.
No, we'll be... It says any remaining items, like there will be any, will be donated to charity.
Okay, well, wish we'd done that story last week. Oh, well.
Yeah, right. Well, see what happens when you're off for 2 weeks?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, we were just so
but
busy
I just love that whole idea that they were bad, they didn't acknowledge it, but they have to give away $175 million in makeup on the honor system.
Well, what happened was the Dr. Pepper thing I was talking about, they were going to give all these cans away that you had to send away for, and they got so much response to their website, the website crashed. And then they were going to be sued because their website crashed because someone wanted to sue them for a free can of Dr. Pepper. It is such ridiculousness, you know? I don't know. What else are you looking up over there?
I'm looking up totally free stuff. I'm, like, really into free stuff now.
Well, try and do it where the deadline is not 5 days ago. That would be helpful.
What would you like? Athletic and sports, audio CDs, automotive, babies and infants, birthday stuff, books.
Yeah, actually a free infant.
No, it says infant stuff.
No. I want a free infant.
Can't get that.
Really?
How about a calendar? You want a free calendar?
Well, no! Why would I want a free calendar? It's already February.
Well,
plus, my wife got me a wonderful birthday gift of a Monty Python day-by-day calendar. So thank you, honey.
How about a DVD? Would you like a free DVD?
I would love a free DVD. Was it German Scheisse porn or something, or what?
A 3 35mm slide or paper photo scanning demo DVD?
No.
Tempur-Pedic DVD?
I'll take a Tempur-Pedic mattress if they'll...
No, it says Tempur-Pedic Nighttime Renewal Kit and DVD.
No.
How about Feeding Imagination DVD?
No. My imagination is very well fed.
Woodworking duplicating DVD.
Thank God, no.
Select Comfort and a $50 gift card.
Where are these? What site is this? Where are you getting this?
It's freestuff.com.
Mm.
It's totally freestuff.com. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Free Weeds TV show box DVD sets.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's a pretty nice gift. Why is that being given away free?
Do you like Rick Steves?
I don't know who that is. Oh, that's that travel guy, isn't he?
Rick Steves Europe, the tour experience DVD.
Yeah, he goes to. He basically spends the whole program in churches.
Would you like some PETA stickers?
Some what?
PETA stickers?
Oh, I thought you meant my No.
But do you want to know about the Free Weeds TV show box DVD?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see.
Is it a contest?
I don't know, but it's a totally free stuff.
Yeah. I was just on Mary Louise Parker on Broadway in Haga Gabler. Be talking about that in a couple of weeks.
Well, you select your favorite season of Weeds, you enter your email, and you... Oops.
And you oops.
Yeah, I pressed the wrong button. You enter your email, so let's see if I can do that without
whoopsing again.
Don't be whoopsing.
Okay, let's see. I'll have to type it in. It doesn't. You know, sometimes you double click and you can get your email there now.
This is some great radio right here, ladies and gentlemen.
MSN.com.
Oh, you're sort of hunting peck. Plus, you have a band-aid on your finger. Yeah. What happened there?
Oh, one of my new. Oh. Complete the survey below. Okay, you could be your next $50,000 number winner. Enter your phone number. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
That's totally not free stuff. I'll get totally way too much email with that.
Well, yeah. No, I you know, spam. Not so wonderful spam.
Season 1 reserved for me. Now simply click on the orders offers listed below, and Weeds is mine.
I love how Jeff just, you know, takes the time on the air to read his email.
Oh, like if you sign up for Netflix and it's a couple of these. Oh my God, there's a lot of them. What get you a free e-music? It'll give me free 50 free music downloads.
50? That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought so. Trim Day weight loss supplement. I can get that and could use that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which,
that's not.
Oh. All right.
It was a bad couple of weeks for the Jeff diet.
Couple of weeks? Why?
Yeah, no, because I didn't go to...
Speak up, yeah.
I'm going to mumble through this, because I don't want to really explain that I didn't go to my Weight Watchers meeting, and then I gained 2 pounds.
Hmm.
It was sad.
Jeff.
I know. Sorry.
What were you doing that you weren't flying around the
world? I was eating stuff.
Jeffrey Goodman.
What can I...
It's a new month, okay? It's February 2nd now.
It's February.
So, time to start new, start fresh.
And it's my Thailand month, so it should be good.
Yeah, well, yeah, but last time you came back from Thailand, that didn't help much either, which I was a little surprised by. Usually when you go to Thailand, you drop like 30 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that happens this time. Well, of course, I'm only going to Thailand for a couple of weeks this time.
So, try and drop 20 pounds, you know?
Okay.
Just get some sort of horrible disease there.
Like the bird flu?
Whatever they've got over there. I'm sure they've got a zillion diseases with that heat and with everything that's going on. Aren't they having some terrible political problems, too?
Let's look for free food.
Yeah, I love how Jeff also avoids saying anything bad about Thailand. The whole country's going
They're
in the toilet.
They're not having anything bad.
No, I just read some. I don't recall it, but something.
Do you want a diamond vodka sample?
No.
French's print coupons?
You mean for mustard?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take some. Is it free?
Yeah.
Free mustard. Mustard.
Well, let's see. You got zero votes. It's French's, an American manufacturer of prepared mustard mayonnaise-based products.
Yeah.
As well as French fried onions and potato sticks.
Yeah.
Their website. Visit their website and sign up for the eClub to receive free coupons.
Well, free coupons is not free food. The coupons are free. The coupons are probably buy one, get one free.
Click here to get French's print coupons. Let's see what you can get.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see.
I want some mustard.
Let's see.
Give me some
they
mustard,
give you
bastard.
Lovely recipe for chicken, corn, and black bean quesadillas.
I don't eat recipes. I want mustard.
We give you a couple of dip recipes. Mm.
Yeah, dip this. I want mustard.
Where's my coupons? Principal coupons.
Aha, here we go. This is exciting, ladies and gentlemen.
And you get free mustard.
Really?
You get a coupon registration.
All right. And you can take that to the supermarket and get a free thing of mustard.
So, Dave, what is your title? Mr., Mrs., or Ms.?
I better keep it as Mr.
David.
No, don't give my whole... never give full whole names on these things.
Wise.
Yeah. Spell it differently or something.
I'm spelling it very funny. Lefko Wise.
That's fine. The way Jeff is typing, this little segment right here could take about 10 minutes.
What is your email address, Dave?
Everybody knows my email address. It's davesgongby@aol.com. But don't use that email address, please, for this. I'll give you another one to use off the air because I'm specifically use davesgongby just for the radio show.
But that's okay.
Let it come to use your email address. Let it come to you. You can print it out for me.
I did the other one under mine.
So are you going to get free mustard?
At AOL.org?
What?
Or AOL.com, right?
I'm not going to tell you which one it is now. because I don't want to get my
what's your zip
email
code?
Address.
Okay, I didn't put your what's your zip code?
I'm not going to tell you now because I don't want things coming to that email address.
11482, I know it.
Okay.
It doesn't make a difference. This is a zip code. You'd like to receive great recipes and coupons.
No.
But
I don't want to receive.
Then you can't get
spam.
You
then screw the mustard.
But you're not getting Home Solution News.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting Home Solution News.
I just signed up for the coupons.
Yes, but you used the email address I specifically asked you not to, didn't you?
No.
Oh, what did you do then?
I just remembered that I got an email from you. I copied it from your other email.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Ha ha.
Cool. Not sure which address that is, but all right.
These days go by then.
thanks so much. Now I'll get, like, tons of, like... French, really. We've just improved our mayonnaise.
All you have to do, don't you know how to get rid of that?
It doesn't work.
No, no, all you have to do is choose it as junk email, and then it all goes to your junk file from that sender.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, oh. All right, I will try that. I'll hold you to your word.
Yes.
Because if I start getting, like, one thing a week from these French people, and you know how much I love the French, but,
Oh, first make sure your printer is ready to print now. Then you have to install coupon activator.
Oh, good lord. Just get out of that.
Oh, well. Damn. Do you want $2 off Purdue chicken?
No! No, I do not!
How about Vicks?
No. Only if I could rub it on the girl of my choice. No.
You're missing out on lovely coupons.
Eh... And it was coupons for
gadgets. Let's see what they give them. Gadgets
is fun. Let's see some free gadgets.
Okay.
Jeff's playing Inspector Gadget here. What he's looking for is free stuff.
A Pixie
on the
Studio
internet.
Lens Pen.
Okay.
Our tie wrap cable tie sample pack of 5. How about an earbud?
Oh, an earbud. You mean for airplanes and stuff?
An earbud, but for jawbone headsets.
Oh, I have no idea.
They're doing beta testing on it. So really,
that's good. So it's have like little drills in your ears. And well, we're beta testing.
Would you like a photoelectric sensor sample?
No.
Would you like a wired 3G cell phone holder?
What does it have to be wired for?
It's wired for 3G.
What is 3G?
I don't know.
No, I don't want it.
$40 off a Dell digital camcorder?
I wish, but no.
Would you like a Sony Xperia X1 smartphone for free?
For free? There's got to be a catch.
I'm sure. So we'll go to the next one, because this is my favorite.
Well, what is what?
This one you're going to want. A daily waste calculator.
I beg your pardon.
It is a daily waste calculator.
Which
W-A-S-T-E.
Yeah, no, I figured it was waste, like... effluence. What exactly does it? Is it?
I don't know, but it got 5 votes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Daily Waste was created in 2005. For a limited time, Daily Waste is giving away a free calculator to everyone who submits a funny picture.
Oh.
Video, joke, or other media. Oh, send them one of your jokes. I'm sure they'll love it.
Well, actually, I would do that. To get a free calculator, I would.
Visit,
that's pretty neat.
Visit their website to submit yours today.
Okay.
Clip here to get your daily... Oh, and they even have Pee Wee Herman.
Oh.
With socially awkward tees. T-shirts. From the Cotton Factory.
I would wear a Pee Wee Herman t-shirt.
And they're priced at $10.99-ish.
Ish. Well, I guess extra, you know, the small and large, they tend to tack on a dollar when they get to the extra large.
Click here to get to your daily waste calculator. If you like one, Dave, I will...
Well, because you won't be able to print it out. You won't be able to do it.
No, no. I'm sure this is just where you just ask for it and they'll send it to you.
Well, yeah, but again, I would give you a different email address if we were going
to
do that.
Well,
so.
You have to go to dailywaste.com to get that then. How's
okay.
That?
You know what we both really do love, though?
Our sponsors?
Yes, that's right, Jeff Goodman. Our sponsors, including Hewlett Minuteman Press, who are...
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
And they have been since the 1970s. Family-owned Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. And every Dave's Gone By listener, no matter what your job is, big or small there, gets 10% off. Jeff, do you want to do our other sponsors? Because I want to take this call at maybe our
sure,
special
we
guest.
We have the deli, the Woodrow Deli, where you drop off that last W for, wow, a good price. Anyway, and they're in the Hewlett Shopping Center. And then we also have Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which are owned and operated by me. If you want to get any decor for your party, you call 516-797-3229. And then there's... Where is the Woodrow Deli located? Dave's on the phone. I don't know where the Woodrow Deli is located. Dave's... No, he's still on the phone. Okay, Dave...
Jeff, are you dying out there?
Or? Yes, because I can't remember where the Woodrow... What shopping
center? It's in the Peninsula Shopping Center.
That's the one we pass right all the time, right? Okay, well, they're not talking to me. But they have fabulous roast beef and turkey and pastrami. I bet you they even have tongue there. Probably a lot of good rye bread. The pickles are terrific. The coleslaw. Everything. And it's all free. Well, you know, the pickles are. Anyway, so... You can also, there's Performing Arts Insider, which is the Bible of Broadway. You can contact Dave about the Broadway Arts Insider.
What, Performing Arts Insider?
Performing Arts Insider.
Jeff, how can you forget our sponsors after 2 weeks?
I said, well, I've been on vacation.
Yeah, mental vacation, obviously. what else have you screwed up? Have you told people that all these places are in Connecticut or something?
I think I told them everything the Woodrow was free.
Oh, yeah, good way. You know, that'll get them business, I'll tell you that much. You get a lot of
oh, by the way, the views.
What?
Well, I kind of covered it by saying, well, just the pickles are.
Yes, the pickles are free, the bread is free, the potato salad, stuff like that.
The tongue's not free.
Ketchup is free, mustard is free. Water. The other food you gotta pay for, but the prices are reasonable. You can get a really full meal.
And they're kosher.
And it's kosher, but they are open 7 days a week. People might think that they're closed on Saturdays or something. No. You can go any day of the week, get a great meal at the Woodrow Delicatessen in the Peninsula Shopping Center. Did you also talk about Performing Arts Insider?
Not much.
Yeah, obviously. Good Lord.
But I did kind of screw up Fancy Schmancy, too.
How did you screw up Fancy Schmancy? Your own company. Only you. What is the phone number? Can you get that right for Fancy Schmancy?
I did. I got that. I gave him the 797-3229.
And PerformingArtsInsider.com for everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, dance, everything. And by the way, Dave's Gone By listeners get a great rate, a great discount on subscriptions to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
Don't make me talk about the sponsors anymore. Please don't, Dave.
No more sponsors.
Well, Dave, you know, I thought of something else we could do.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good, because this is getting real dreary here. What?
Well, there's something interesting I'm doing in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And actually, we may include this in the show if you want. I'm going to be going to the Hollywood Collector Show.
Right, yeah.
Now, did I...
Tell everybody what that is.
The Hollywood Collector Show, well, I'm trying to get into the thing at the same time. Do you remember what I told you about that? So can you explain it a little bit?
Oh, I'll explain it. They have these in New York, too, but because it's in California, they tend to be bigger with bigger celebrities. And it's has-been central.
Excuse me, bigger has-beens.
They're not never-wases. They are has-beens. And they gather them all together in a hotel. And basically, fans get to walk into these giant rooms and go get autographs and go shake their hands and say, oh, I remember you from... Battlestar Galactica, or some movie, or Star
Trek.
Yeah, but it bothers me that the fans pay a fee to get in, and then autographs they have to pay for as well. It's not as if you can walk in and then get all the autographs that you want. Each individual star, or former star, gets to sell the autographs and autograph photos. So I think that's kind of sucky. But for people who are into it, or sci-fi geeks and buffs... And people who want... they do these for Comic-Con conventions as well, but Jeff is probably going to go to a Hollywood one in a week and a half. Because they've got
amazing
people.
At the Burbank Airport Marriott Hotel.
not the Los Angeles Marriott, not the San Francisco... No, not the Berkeley Marriott, but the Bel Air Airport. Oh, no, the Burbank Airport. Beautiful downtown Burbank.
Yes.
Marriott Hotel is where they'll be holding this Hollywood thing. And why don't you just tell people, not everybody, but a few
of
them.
It says all, it's underlined, all of our celebrity guests will charge a fee for their autographs.
Hmm. So for all you know, some of the autographs might be $20, you know? And some might be $5. And some might be $1.50.
Well, you know, a lot of times if you go there, really, they'll do it for free, because sometimes there are people sitting at the table and no one's waiting.
Well.
They just want to talk to you.
Well, who do you have? Remind people, or not remind people.
Well, let's see. They also have reunions. Uh-huh. And this year they're having reunion specials. And let's see.
Like when casts get together from an old show.
At every show, we always have some of our celebrity guests that either have appeared together on the same feature or on the same television show. We have created a special section for these celebrity guests to make it easier for you to know just who these celebrities are. So anyway, they're having a Brady Bunch reunion.
Who would they get?
They're having Susan Olsen Brady. Cindy.
Oh, Cindy, okay, yeah.
The little woman curls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The sausage curls, yeah.
And Robbie Oliver, Wrist. He was the one that they had together. Remember they had a seventh child.
Oh my gosh! I didn't remember that. I never watched the Brady Bunch. It was not my show. Partridge Family I watched, but not the Brady Bunch.
Well, okay.
So they're reuniting those two. That's exciting.
Yeah, and they'll be attending our show on behalf of their favorite charities. Precious Poor.
And Marsha will be serving drugs to them, by the way. That's kind of a cool...
Then they're having a reunion of people from The Burbs, the movie The Burbs.
Good Lord. Okay.
Bruce Dern.
Oh, well, okay.
Carrie Fisher, who will only be there on Saturday.
Oh, well, excuse me, yeah. Speaking of people doing drugs...
And that's the only two people from the movie. I guess Tom Hanks isn't going to be there.
Oh, well. Well, that Bruce Dern is a pretty major character. I mean, you know, he was a hot... Hollywood star for a couple of years.
And then there's something called the Choppers. You ever hear of some? Arch Cruiser Hall Jr.?
Maybe it's Orange. Is it Orange County Choppers?
It's called the Choppers.
Oh, no, okay.
And then Burr Middleton, who played Tony Pennelly. That's it.
Yeah. That's a table that they'll pay you to take their autograph.
But then they have a reunion of people from Coming Home.
Well, also, Bruce Stern's there anyway.
There you go.
Is Jane Fonda going to show up?
No, but Robert Bill Munson Carradine is.
Oh, Bob Carradine. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. That's pretty neat.
And that's that reunion. Then there's Conversations from the Edge.
What's that?
Carrie Fisher.
You mean Postcards from the Edge?
Conversations from the Edge.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
And Debbie Reynolds.
Now, that's wicked cool. I would want to go see... You know, meet Debbie Reynolds. I think that would be neat.
I thought so, too.
I mean, she was in Singing in the Rain, for gosh sakes.
Okay, now, there's something called The Flash, which... Oh, they... Okay.
Okay.
Amanda pays, and John Wesley...
Yeah, but
Ship.
How much does she pay? John Wesley who?
Ship.
Okay. Go take a ship for
he
yourself.
He played The Flash.
I don't even remember that.
How about Homicide: Life on the Street?
Oh my gosh, I love that show.
Daniel Baldwin will be there.
Oh great. Will he be preaching about Jesus, or is that the other Baldwin?
Probably. I think that's Daniel. And Yaphet Kotto.
Wow. Yaphet Kotto. He was good in that show, by the way.
Now,
and
also,
there's only two people from it. It was an ensemble show.
I know, they're only having like two people reunions. The Max Headroom show is having a reunion.
Hey, whatever happened to that guy? Is he going to be there?
No.
Oh.
But the guy who played Gene Ashwell, Hank Garrett, will be there.
No idea who the heck that is. I don't know who the character. I didn't watch that show.
And Amanda Pays was also in that show.
Watch it.
Amanda Pays was also in that show.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay, let's see.
Are you sure you want to go to this thing?
And then the Other Side of the Mountain is having a reunion. Remember the Disney film, The Other Side of the Mountain?
Barely.
Well, Marilyn Hassett will be there, and as well as Beau Bridges.
Oh, the one Bridges brother nobody wants to know. I'm sorry, that's cold.
But here's the one you want to go see.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure Reunion.
Yeah, featuring...
E.G. Daly, who played Dottie.
Oh, the girlfriend. Okay, cool. That's neat. All right.
And Paul Rubens.
Pee-wee's going to be there.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's going to be there.
Uh-huh.
That is freaking cool. You should have him sign, like, child pornography.
Well, no, Dave, I was kind of hoping that if I went there, maybe I can get him to call into Dave's Gone By.
I would, you know, if you meet him and he's willing to do it, that would be, you know, because he's probably selling his autograph for $30 or something, mm-hmm. just to pay
his
jail fees.
He's having a big adventure.
I think that's great that they got Paul Reubens. That's
then
neat.
Then the movie The Rat Race, remember that one?
I think I do.
And guess who's going to be in that?
Well, was Nathan Lane in that one?
No, he was in the revival when they redid it.
Oh, so what, Tony Curtis was in the... Yeah,
Tony
yeah.
Curtis is going to be there.
Tony Curtis is going to be there. Whoa!
And Debbie Reynolds.
I get it. So it's a Debbie Reynolds. That now it's getting cool, man.
Oh, that's the only two people from that one.
Even so, well, the rest are dead by now.
Now, here's one. Starship Troopers.
Mm, yeah.
Jake Busey. Gary's son.
The son of Gary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just so you know, Mr. Busey also co-starred on Shasta McNasty. I mean, you have to read these. I mean, they give you a whole bio.
You know, if you walk down
a
couple of the worst streets in Manhattan, where there's drug dealers and people killing each other, most of those people were cast members of Shasta McNasty, so you know.
But they all have like these big bios.
Yeah.
Tell me how many of these things have you seen that Jake Busey's been in?
Oh, good Lord.
He's from Starship Troopers,
uh-huh.
The Rainmakers, Fast Sofa. Then another thing called Home Fries. Then the first $20 million is always the hardest. Then another one called Motorcycle Gang.
He's making these things up.
Nope. Something called Play Dead. Something called S period, F period, W period. Then there's Lost Junction. Wind Runner. Roadhouse 2, Last Call. As if we all hadn't have enough of Roadhouse 1. Identity, The Frighteners, The Hitcher 2, as if we didn't, which was called I've Been Waiting. The Hitcher 2, I've Been Waiting.
Yeah.
Quiet Days in Hollywood, Christmas with the Cranks.
That. I read the damn book from John Grisham, not one of his best.
Yeah. Enemy of the State.
That sounds familiar, actually.
H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. War of the World.
Of the World? Oh, he wasn't in War of the Worlds. He was in the low-budget one, War of the World.
War of the World. Held Up, Codebreakers, Tail Light Spade, and Death Row.
Isn't it amazing there can be so many movies we've
never... And
then
in parentheses it says, Mr. Busey also co-starred on Shasta McNasty.
We should have a Shasta McNasty reunion on this program.
Wouldn't that be cool?
We just pay subway fare and they'll all come. Yeah. If we hand out soup.
How about Xena Warrior Princess?
Hey, well, that was a big, big show. That was a hit. And is she going to be there?
Well, Kevin Sorbo is going to be there. Hercules.
Heard the name, okay. No, but they didn't get, what, the Australian woman?
And no, Adrienne Wilkinson is going to be there. She played Livia and Eve.
Can't say I really watched the show. Oh, well.
She also starred on, co-starred as Nikki on As If.
As If I Care. No, I...
She's also been in Yesterday's Dreams, Interceptor Force 2, Pomegranate, and Xena, 10th Anniversary Collection.
Okay. We see what kind of career
she was not a part of the Shasta McNasty crew.
No, she was... Oh! I think her part was cut. It was too good. Someone's on the phone for us.
Maybe it's your father. I like when he calls.
That'd be really cool. So let's see.
You pick it up. Just tell me he's live on the air.
WGBB, you are live on the air. Who's this?
This is Phil.
Hello.
Dave's dead.
Oh, I'm so glad you called in. And you weren't calling for Verizon.
How you doing, Dad?
I'm fine.
I can't believe you're still up.
Well,
we're so entertaining.
Did you like Dave's jokes about the kids in New Jersey?
It's not my bag.
Good.
Very diplomatic of you, Dad.
Don't you think he's a horrible, horrible person for saying half the things he says?
Yeah, he's.
Thank you, Dad.
He can be.
Thanks for calling me a horrible person some of the time. Yeah.
Now, listen, as long as we have you, can you tell us a very embarrassing David story from when he was growing up? Did he do anything embarrassing when he was little?
Daily.
Did he do anything embarrassing?
Yeah.
Well,
you can tell one of the delightful shock stories.
Yes, that's just exactly what came to mind.
He's probably told this on the air here before, but I'm happy to hear it again.
Well, Dave, as an infant, didn't have hips to speak of.
I was born without hips.
No, I'm not born without hips. You just
I used to walk slender. On my elbows.
He had very slender hips.
Yeah.
And he's running around the house, and his diaper invariably would be down around his ankles until he'd step out of it. So
I
he'd
still
be
do
running
that
around
today.
The house,
yeah,
nude.
Mm-hmm.
And
ain't nothing wrong with that.
I would come home from work at 3-4 in the morning and sit on the sofa, and that would be my chance to talk to him. And he's standing directly in front of me. And I reach over to switch on a light. And as my hand touched the switch, I got what I thought was an electric shock. Till I realized that he had timed it so perfectly, he let go with a stream against my leg. And I said, if he's peeing on me at this age, what's he going to do when he gets older? And we found out, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, well.
You peed on your father?
Oh, yeah, a couple of times, but that was the best one.
It's not just peeing, it was the, oh, yeah.
The timing.
You remember the first, well, no, you remember. I told you about the first time. We had just taken him home from the hospital, I think, and I'm sitting with him, cradling him in my lap. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, this must be what they talk about when they talk about the glow of fatherhood. And then I said, no, wait a minute. This is more than just warm glow.
It's warm.
It's wet, warm glow. And I realized that he had bathed me in fluid, shall
Your
we
mind.
Say.
And
so
did
again,
yeah.
You know, he's doing this to me at this age. What am I going to get when he's a teenager?
And what did he do to you when you were a teenager?
I was a pretty good teenager, come to think of it.
Yeah,
I don't think I gave you much grief.
If you were such a good kid, how come you're an only child?
Was there ever any thought of a brother or sister? Or was my birth so difficult? And
well,
the subsequent, you know, hospitalization and all that, and, you know.
Yeah, well, you know the story. We went through a lot when you were born, and we weren't ready to tackle it again.
Mm. So it was Dave's fault.
So what?
It was Dave. It's all Dave's fault, right?
All Dave's
right.
fault that there
yeah,
was
lay,
another
lay
left
that on him, yeah. And you can pay for the psychiatrist visit.
No problem. I'll be in Thailand by that time.
In the meantime, he's presented us with lots of nachas to make up for it.
Thank you, Dad.
Well,
but you're wet, but
he gave us Joyce.
And are you waiting for grandchildren?
If he wants. It's strictly up to him.
He's giving me a symbol. He says he wants one. He put one finger.
I want one grandchild. Yeah, I'll work on it.
We've got two grand puppies.
That's right.
That's right.
We've got grand frogs.
Oh, yeah,
you've got grand potatoes.
The potatoes
That's right.
are the best.
What do we need, grand kids?
And don't forget, I also have my earwax that I've been keeping for years. I have a little bowl of earwax that I've named Eustacia.
Oh, I'm so glad you shared that.
Well, it's very easy to make. You know, we don't feed her. She's just there. She watches TV.
I can't believe Joyce puts up with you. I really can't. I don't know how you stay married. I guess it's because she's in another state.
That's right. We live apart. That works very well. If she only has to see me, you know, 2 days a week, it really helps.
Oh, did David tell you where he's traveling to?
That's what I always said about Mom.
What?
One of the things that made us have a successful marriage, poo-poo,
yeah.
is the fact that we never saw each other. When we saw each other, it was always like old home week.
Well, that was only in the early. Now you guys are like linked by the. You're all Siamese, you know.
And how many years have you been married?
Well, I'm one of these crazy guys who can't seem to get enough of his wife.
Well, I've talked to your wife, and I've met your mother.
You must have at some point.
But I remember talking to her, and she's just lovely. So you made a very wise choice.
She's a delightful woman.
And they must have, you must be married about 46 years, I'm assuming, or 47.
How old are you, Dave?
How old are you, Dave?
Well, I just turned 45, so that's what I'm saying.
45, okay. Let's hope we'll be married 42 years.
Oh, your father gives it back to you.
He does, a little bit. Where do you think I get it from? You know, the line of my humor streams from my grandfather on my father's side.
Don't blame it on me. You've taken it so far, further, and perverted it so.
Well, each generation, if I ever decide to have a kid, he'll have to go so much further than I do that he'll make Sam Kinison look like Mr. Rogers, you know?
Well, Dave and my father, he should rest in peace, have had such a terrific relationship. And my father was an inveterate kidder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a terrific sense of humor. And
so that's where Dave didn't get it from.
Like I think that's where he gets it. He gets it.
He used to, like, stab me with knives and go, tee-hee!
Yeah, right.
Just
the right
kidding.
Guy.
Just kidding. He was one of the most gentle souls
sure.
you ever come
got
across.
That right.
Well, the thing is, Dave's always in a fairly good mood, except when he's not.
Right.
But normally
that will come as a shock to my dad. No, on the air when I'm doing what I want to do, when I'm being creative, I'm in a good mood. Most of the rest of my life, I'm in an incredibly sour and bitter mood.
Now I never got that, Dave. I always until I really met him, I thought he was a really nice guy.
Until you got to
me, I was shocked. I was shocked at how hateful he is.
Who?
Your son?
Oh, I'm
my son.
Awful.
He hates a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm like just so surprised. He just seemed like such a nice guy. And by the way, Mr. Lefkowitz, I have to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
You're listening to WGBB Freeport.
Am I really?
Yeah. Yes. Well, every hour on the hour we have to do an ID.
And that was a very good one. That was really.
Dave, did you know that? What is that? You knew I was going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Because I was looking at the clock and I saw you looking over my head, and I thought, "Yeah, Jeff's going to do it," and he did it quite well. I'm so impressed. So, Dan, how was your week? What did you do this week?
Oh, I don't know, the usual.
Did you go to the men's club?
Please remember that we're talking to a bunch of people out there listening who don't know what your usual is.
All right. Well, my usual is I spend quite a bit of time online.
Okay.
Really?
And, well, for people who don't know, I'm in a wheelchair. So my activity is really limited.
So when the Asian brides come over, you have to send them back.
What?
But, thank God for your mother.
Yeah.
She makes sure that I get out, go to a restaurant, and...
You don't have a motorized wheelchair?
Oh,
in the house. Not. No,
yeah, but I'm not going to take it out because I have had the experience of being out with the motorized wheelchair and having it die.
Oh.
Somewhere far from the house, or not that far, but far enough from the house, and then having to worry about getting back to the house. Brenda would want to go out for walks. So we tried that. I'd be in the chair, and she'd be walking.
Mm-hmm.
And this was fine until the day that the chair died.
Oh, and then how do you get back?
Right. But the thing is, the other wheelchair that you have, you have to be pushed. You don't have one of those chairs where you do the wheels yourself. So that is kind of limiting.
You have that old thing that they did in Annie for the president. That wooden wheelchair with the little...
Might as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, if I had one of those with the wheels on the side, turn yourself...
Yeah. You'd be doing wheelies.
I could probably have gotten back to the house without a problem.
Right, right.
But
at least in the house you have the scooter or a rascally type thing, where that you can motor around.
Do you have a rascal, a jazzy, or a hover-round?
I don't know the brand...
What I like is that Tom Cruise invented the hover round.
What?
There's a man named Tom Cruise.
Oh, different.
Because I'm Tom Cruise, the inventor of the hover round.
His name is Tom Cruise, but it's not the same Tom Cruise. The hover round, that's a nice chair.
Oh, okay. It's a nice chair to have around.
Well, do the job.
Thank you so much.
Did you get my email about the drunk people?
Jeff is talking to me. Oh, that was funny.
Did you send it to your father?
Nah, I can't really send that because there's a couple of things in there that.
Well, they were just two booby pictures.
It was, you want to explain? It's really, really
it was
funny.
Hilarious,
thing that's
yeah.
going around. It's the top 10 or top 20 hangover people of New Year's Eve 2009. And it's,
so
it's pictures taken.
What is
taken
so bad that I can't? You
nothing.
Know,
you
think?
No. But you know,
send it to your father.
I will, because it's just people. They're slumped over toilets.
They're just in unbelievable positions.
You wouldn't figure the body could actually go into that position, let alone sleep that way. I mean,
the guy that he just fell off the bicycle.
And he just slept there. Like, 1 minute he's on a bicycle, one minute, like, he's just sleeping on the bicycle.
And another one I like is in the street, and he has a wet spot near his mouth and a wet spot near his groin.
Because they're just so incredibly drunk that they pass out.
And the winner, we can't even explain to you.
Well,
the winner is the funniest photo I've ever seen.
I had a friend.
Yeah?
Who told me that he was so drunk, I mean, he was a drinker, but this one time he was so drunk, he came to walking down the street without his shoes. He had bruises all over his body, had no recollection of how he got there. And,
that was me.
God forbid. I said, wow.
That was my hazing from the Masons.
This is when you know you've got a problem.
Yeah. That's bad. But these people are really hilariously funny.
Yeah. Well, the last guy, we'll send it over, but for people who don't get to see it.
What,
he's actually
real people, or is it just
no, this is real. These are actual pictures of people taken on New Year's Eve who wound up incredibly dead drunk and passed out. And these are the various positions and places that they're passed out in. And the last one is just this guy who is sleeping with his face in the urinal.
Oh, God. I guess he was throwing up.
Or whatever. No, or he was just just slumped over.
No, he probably was throwing up.
Oh, really? Oh, you think?
Yeah,
and he
of
just
course. And the toilets were full.
Oh, God.
Didn't Cosby do a thing like that where he he's sick, he drinks too much, and he gets sick, and then he puts his face, he says, and you wind up putting your face in a place that was never intended for your face, and then you say, oh, thank you, porcelain, for being so cool.
Yeah. No, it's so true. But you have to, you know.
I'll forward it.
People who end up with the toilet seat around their neck.
Yeah,
There was a guy, the toilet seat must have broken, he just had the seat around his neck.
Oh.
It sounds like it's something that I would appreciate.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. You know, my cousin didn't appreciate that. She said it was horrible. I shouldn't ever forward her stuff like this again.
Oh, please. It's
you
hysterical.
Never know how somebody's going to take something.
Yeah, but this is also my cousin who's a little touchy about stuff. She was the one who was afraid we were giving her name over the air. Remember Janice?
Oh, this is Janice Goodman of 458.
Yeah. But her last name isn't Goodman.
Okay. Oh, no, but I still, her phone number's still the same. It's 516-555.
516 in California. Very good.
Yeah, okay.
But she was the only one who kind of, everyone else thought it was hilarious.
Well, you know, there's always somebody that's going to object.
Or find
something. I mean, some of the stuff that I have enjoyed over the years from various comedians and whatever, and I think it's hilarious. There's always somebody who doesn't find it funny.
They just have to get over themselves.
Like when I see documentaries about the Holocaust, you know, and then you see like the bodies going down the chutes or they're opening the oven doors and stuff.
Don't
like,
even go there.
I find that amusing, but other people, you'd be amazed.
David, that is not a
it's
subject
horrible.
For humor.
Oh, well. or Pol Pot, you know, the killing fields.
You are a horrible, horrible person for doing this stuff.
It's like, how do you clear a killing field in about an hour? Pitchfork, you know. It's like
you are a horrible, horrible person.
Okay. This is a news catchphrase for you, David.
I'm a horrible, horrible
How does your
person.
Wife stay married to you? I just don't know. She's so nice.
Yeah, she is so understanding.
Joyce is the most lovely person. I'm just
My
shocked.
Son and I, thank God, have been blessed finding the two most understanding women.
Well, to me, Joyce is a saint.
Hey.
I agree.
I love
so
it.
So is Brenda.
Yeah. Go,
that is true.
Yeah, but you're very nice, too. You're not as horrible a person as David.
You can possibly
oh, that's
be.
True.
I mean, you're a grumpy person. I definitely got my
oh,
anger
he's
in
not
my
grumpy.
So why sound grumpy to
no.
you?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Not at all.
Dad's never grumpy. Okay, sure. What's the, Dad, what is
wait
the drunkest you've ever
wait,
got?
Wait a minute.
What,
wait
what?
A minute. Wait a minute. When I'm fast asleep, when I was working night.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm awakened by these voices arguing. And who is it?
Yeah.
My wife.
David.
And my 4-year-old son having a debate. Loud. And my son doesn't have the brains to shut his mouth. It is his mother.
I never have I?
It is his mother. A little respect, a little Derek Harris. Wouldn't hurt. No. He's got to get the last word if possible. And I'm still in bed, having gotten, what, 2-3 hours of sleep. And so finally I'm lying there, and now I'm awake. And I'm trying to control my anger. Now I'm mad at him. I'm mad at my wife, because she should be able to handle him better. And I said, but I'm not gonna get upset. And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally,
someone
I jump up out of bed. Go to the kitchen, to the bedroom door.
David's like reliving this as we're speaking.
Well,
fling it open. Now, we lived in a what they call the railroad flat,
uh-huh.
You know, with the long hallway and
uh-huh.
all the rooms off the foyer.
Yep.
Foyer, if you prefer.
And how do you spell theater?
And now he looks up, and he sees me coming. And he knows this is his last day on Earth. And he says the one thing that could have saved his life. As I approach them, I get within a foot of them after traversing this, what was it, about 20 or 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up with all the innocence of a 4-year-old and gives me a wave with his hand and goes, "Hi, pal." It took all the air out of my balloon. It was the anger just flowed out of me.
That is hilarious.
It was the one thing he could have done to save his life.
I have a great instinct for self-preservation on certain levels.
That's what I attributed it to. And I went over to him, and I gave him a light pat on puss. And I said, "Don't talk back to your mother like that." I grabbed her by the hand, and the two of us went back into the bedroom, closed the door, and I fell apart. We were hysterical. Hi, pal. Here's this little
that
picture
is
of this little 4-year-old. I've never forgotten it.
I know. I can just see that, too. That's a weird one.
Yeah, if you picture it, you can realize
it's
how
hilarious.
Ridiculous the whole thing is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. David, you're a very lucky man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would have killed me. He saw it.
He saw it. He saw the snorting, the fire in the eyes.
And gave you the big hi, pal.
Hi, pal.
Oh, my God.
He never called me pal.
The one thing I always tell David, I think his word usage is incredible.
He always knows.
He knows the right word to say at the right time. He really does.
That is true.
And his writing is excellent.
Thank you. Really excellent.
Jeff has reservations
about me as a performer, but he doesn't so much as a writer.
Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. What do you think of the rabbi?
You're asking me?
Yes.
I'm not a particular fan of the rabbi.
Me neither.
As David knows.
He does not. So we're basically in the same boat, huh, David?
Yeah. You know, most of my family does not. They've come around and supported him somewhat and admitted when certain things were funny or were okay.
The eye chart
but rather
was nice,
not.
Right?
Huh?
The rabbinical eye chart was good.
Yeah, it's the only thing you ever bring up that you like, and
I also like the opening to the show, the dancing in the backyard.
Yeah, but you like the cute stuff. Say, you don't like to go to dark places, and that's where I need to go. You know, that's what I do.
I know.
Now, most of the show is not particularly dark.
I know.
You know, I plan it to be a lot darker and a lot sicker, but I like the character. I want to make him more likable than he was ever intended to be. He was supposed to be really kind of angry all the time and dark and full of invective.
How many rabbis do you know like that?
How many rabbis
do I know?
How long
do you think they would continue as a rabbi?
Most rabbis are boring. Most rabbis are boring guys who go up there and give, you know, they have to be nice, they have to be cute sermons, they're amusing, but really, if you're watching them on TV, you click. But you're in the thing and you laugh at them because they're funny in that situation. You're happy for any joke and 3 hours on a Saturday morning, you know. So the rabbis that we know, they're nice people. Very very few rabbis have I found particularly inspiring or inspired or brilliant.
Did you like my
Menachem
rabbi
Schneerson?
What was so great about Menachem Schneerson? He was cute. He was cute. He sat there and he made speeches and everybody went ooh because he was born into the whatever. Fine, great. You know, really nice guy, really did some lovely things, but, you know.
Well, you know, you're related to a...
To Rabbi Pam. He's supposedly a wonderful person. Sure he was. But I'm just saying, you know, what rabbis have impressed you so much that, you know...
Well, what rabbis have given you the impression that they're idiots?
None. My rabbi is very far from an idiot.
Okay, now let's get on to another one. How about Peter Fitzgerald?
No, we're getting on a good time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you remember Peter Fitzgerald, Dad?
Yes.
Well, you probably don't like him either.
He's the Percy Duff Temple
of the show, right.
Yeah.
Now, do you think if your son is a little homophobic? Well, he's not homophobic. He has a weird kind of homophobia. He's just afraid people are going to think he's gay.
Well, so is everybody in Hollywood.
It's like a personal homophobia.
Well, I don't like if you're making fun of rabbis or gay people or whatever.
Right. Who can you make fun of then?
Yourself.
Why do you have to make fun of anybody?
Because that's what you do. That's what
comedy
is.
That's what
it's making fun. It's,
but you listen to Jay Leno.
You
when
can
he
make
opens the show. Does
yeah.
he make fun of people?
Yes.
Well, you can make fun of people, but you don't make fun of them by doing a stereotype, especially if you're not that.
Well, first of all, I am that of that Jewish stereotype.
Yeah,
I'm not of the gay stereotype, but of the Jewish one. And you said Leno doesn't make fun of it. Listen to his monologues. All he's doing is making fun of celebrities. Then go and watch him do the one thing that I find mean is jaywalking. And what is that? He goes out and he finds people to answer questions wrong and make them look foolish. That's all Jay Leno does, is poke fun at people, sometimes very directly.
And David, on the other channel?
David Letterman? David Letterman's more self-effacing.
Yeah, he's more cynical. He has a sort of a weirder, darker strain of humor. But all the comedian monologues are about poking fun at the politicians and making fun of celebrities.
Making fun of situations.
Well, politicians are fair play.
Oh, why?
fair game, I mean.
Because they're in the public eye.
But can you make fun of Obama? Because then you're making fun of a black man.
They make fun of Obama all the time.
Not yet.
Uh-oh.
Dad, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We thought you fell asleep or something.
No, we suddenly got this weird interference noise. I don't know what that was. No, but I'm saying it's like, yeah, you can make fun of Obama, kind of.
It's because you were going to make fun of Obama. We got that weird interference
noise.
That's right. That's
right. CIA's listening in. No, I'm just saying everything is fair game. It has to be.
It is. But you shouldn't.
Why?
But you shouldn't make fun of. You shouldn't do stereotypical.
There aren't enough things to talk about without getting personal?
You need an angle. I need an angle. People, you know, to make a joke is like, why did the chicken cry? I mean, it's one thing to try and make a joke, but if it's not connected to anything, it's not going to land. It has to come from a point of view. It's got, every comedian is coming at the same, there's only probably 20 punchlines for real in all existence. All jokes are sort of constructed in the same couple of ways. It's who's telling it and how they're telling it and what the point of view is and what the, you know, where the joke lands sociologically in that time period from that
person.
And what
makes a successful comedian is when they come up with a different way of presenting this stuff.
Right.
I love Rita Rudner.
Rita Rudner's funny. She has cute
you
stuff.
Bet.
She's making
she's
fun of the Jappy type, you know, married.
Jappy?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Rita Rudner.
Oh, I can get you tickets for her in Las Vegas.
You get them to Las Vegas, you can get them there.
Do you want to go to Vegas? I'll get you to Vegas. The thing I think I always think about when we do the radio shows is that this is just being broadcast into space. So somewhere there's a space alien who's hearing this, like in the future, like 20 years from now.
Right.
And he could say really weird stuff like, you know, call people and say, is your refrigerator running? Catch it.
But also now that everything's kind of recorded and preserved on some level, I mean, everything you say may have a life
will
30,
this,
40 years from now.
Will this be archived
when
Dave's gone by?
Well, I'm going to chop this down into like a double episode. I'm not going to run all 3 hours or whatever it is, but probably about, you know, 2 to 2.5 hours of it. Sure. Why not? You know, that's the fun of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm upset that your father can't get your mother on a plane to go to Vegas.
Anywhere.
To
no.
see Rita Rudner.
It's not going to happen.
You know, when I took Mom, I forget where we were. We were on a vacation, and we went to, I think it was Pennsylvania, Dutch Wonderland or something like that. And we were on a ride. And it was like a train on a track.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit high, a little elevated. Your mother, God bless her, she stuck her finger, her nail, into the back of my hand and made such a dent and didn't let go until we got off of that thing. I learned my lesson.
You keep her with both feet firmly planted on the ground.
Bada bing, you got it. That's the old Jewish expression, bada bing.
Well, before they kiss you on both cheeks and say sayonara.
Well, yeah, no, that's something else entirely. Well, Dad, I wish you a great week, and I wish you all the best, and much love to you and to Mom, of course.
The same to you and my love, my dear Joyce.
Yeah.
We all love Joyce.
She's great.
Yes.
She's. You know, I just saw her this weekend.
I forget not. What a sweetheart.
Wait, so you didn't? Did you tell your father where you're off to?
Well, I did. I don't know if Dad recalls, but we are actually going. My wife and I are flying to North Dakota.
Yeah.
The beginning of next
month.
Not
just North Dakota. Fargo,
North Dakota. Which, and let's tell everybody this, since every time I tell this to people, and they say Fargo, and it's like, oh, like the movie. And I say, yes, like the movie, except most of the movie Fargo was shot in Minnesota. So there you go. Because the Coen brothers are from Minnesota, and it's right next door. But, yeah, no, my wife is...
Well, you know why they picked Fargo? It is the absolute coldest place in America.
And no, it couldn't be.
Yes, it has been known to have the lowest temperature ever. In America.
Now, how can you have a lower temperature than things that are north of it?
Well, not like Alaska, but
Or even north in North Dakota. There's stuff above Fargo.
Not much.
Well, no big city. Maybe it's called a city in America.
I don't even know if Fargo's a city.
Yeah, what else could it be?
It could be a main street with a couple of houses on it.
Oh.
What is that?
I don't know.
Don't press those buttons.
See, we're ringing spam from French's mustard. I don't know
all
what
right.
that is.
I'm taking that as a hint to get off.
Well, Dad, love you, love you, love you. And,
it all in reverse.
You know what that was? Your mother on the extension.
So remember, Dad, we won't be doing a Dave's Gone By next week because I'll be out of town.
Uh-huh.
Although we have our dogs protecting our house, and we'll have people staying there. So any criminals listening, don't think of doing anything. But
instead of robbing your house except potatoes.
Yeah, that's right. I've got nothing of value in there, come to think of it.
Whoa. If the potatoes hear you say that, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
You know, you're right. I apologize. I take this moment to publicly apologize.
I love those potatoes.
Aren't they adorable?
I just can't get over the story of the potatoes. One of these days, not now, but we'll have to do the story of the potatoes. I think your father and I feel the exact same way about you and your jokes.
Yeah, probably.
We love you to death, but we're so... I just can't stand some of your humor sometimes. Is quite...
But I wouldn't be me if I weren't making those
jokes. Oh, I know.
So it's you know, it's part of the whole package.
It's
and
like,
if you've seen my package, you know how impressive that can be.
Been there, seen it, not impressed.
Ew. No, you haven't, and no, you won't.
Yes, I have, because you walk around without shoes, and you walk around without pants. Come on.
When do I walk around without pants?
In the summer, you change into shorts.
Yes. Yeah, well, there ain't nothing you can see in them shorts.
No, there ain't nothing impressive, I'll tell you
yeah,
that.
Well, this much I know. You don't need to tell me that.
Let's call Joyce. I don't know. They ain't been making any babies.
This is true. And when was the last time you saw your wee-wee?
There's a big bulge there.
Yeah.
See how we get so personal?
This is what friends do after a while. We just get mean.
Well, that's what makes The Amazing Race so good.
I worked with a girl who was curious, and she says, could you find out for me how he's built when you go to the men's room? I said, what? Yeah, I want to know. She wasn't exactly the home... type.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I didn't try to find out anything. But when I got back and she says to me, well, I said, all I'll tell you is he can't wear anything shorter than Jamaica shorts.
Nice.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how he felt about her, but I may have done him a big favor or a service.
You know, I thought that was a joke coming up.
I didn't realize that was a true story. Mike.
No, that's a true story.
Good Lord. That's quite a... did you date that girl?
No.
Sounds like she'd be fun.
Yeah, she was married. I was married. I am married.
Oh, so it was just in fun. It was just...
was probably serious about the other guy.
She was curious. And...
Oh. Well...
So you didn't take a big gander into the next stall and go, excuse me, so-and-so wants to know.
Yeah, can you just imagine me?
Did you tap your foot?
Do you mind not covering up so fast?
Oh, man. Well, what's the old Richard? I mean, Richard Pryor didn't write the joke, but he's probably most famous for telling it, of two black guys going fishing and trying to impress each other. And so they have to pee, and they're right over the bridge. So the first guy, you know, unzips and, you know, takes it out, and he's standing there, and he goes, oh, man, this water's cold. And the other guy does the same thing and says, yeah, it's deep, too. Well, Richard told it better, you know. But
no, that was fun.
That was the gist of the joke, yeah. Oh. Well, anywho,
now we've gotten now
we're into the into the core of Gospel Hour. That's how black
penis jokes.
Where are they?
Sometimes they just don't show up.
I'm just
say
so overtired.
Yeah, I know. But didn't you say they're coming at 3?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes if the first shift person doesn't get there, there's someone does a shift at 3:00.
Because she works at Hofstra later.
Okay, it's a couple minutes after two.
Yes, yes it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. So let's well, first of all, thank you, Dad, once more, and thanks so much for being a
pleasure.
Great guest and for
my
being
pleasure.
My dad. And you've got a birthday coming up. We'll kind of keep this as your birthday thing.
When is your birthday?
Fair enough.
February 23rd. That
right.
Would be 71? Is
no.
It? No, what is it?
72.
Ooh. Ooh. You go, Dad. Big number. Big number. So happiness and
not
health.
That big.
Thank you.
He's still young at heart.
So tell you what, maybe on the 22nd...
Your mother keeps me young at heart.
If we're doing a show on the 22nd, maybe you'll call in if we get a couple of minutes after midnight, and you can celebrate your birthday right on the air with us.
Of course, I'll be in Thailand.
Oh, shoot. Well, with me then.
All right.
So,
but I'll get you something in Thailand.
Yeah, get Dad something good. Or get him an autograph of somebody really cool at that
get him
thing.
Someone. Oh, yeah.
So, love you, Dad. Love you very much.
Same here.
Have a great, great week. And
you know, give my love
to Joyce
and the boys and
yes.
The potatoes.
Thank you, yes.
And the frogs.
And the earwax, yes.
And the earwax.
aren't we sorry we know that story? That's like, the potatoes are okay, the dogs are fine, earwax, not so happy about knowing.
I guess I shouldn't mention the poop, huh? No, just kidding.
I may never visit your house again.
Well, it's your poop. We saved it when you left it here and there.
I may never visit my poop again.
Aww. All right, Dad. Have a great night.
Okay, you
Thanks
too.
Thanks so much. It was so, yeah. Such a pleasure talking to you.
Love
Same
to you
here.
And Mom. Have a good night.
Okay. Have Bye. A good one.
Bye.
My father, ladies and gentlemen, taking part in the Dave's Gone By
I
radio
love your
program.
Father. I think he's such a great guy.
He's great. He's great.
And he puts up with you. That's amazing.
I know. All those years, huh? Well, you've been listening to the 303rd edition of Dave's Gone By here on... You know, what's funny is it's 2:06 a.m., but it feels to me like it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm just so wiped out from the week.
See what happens when you get older?
Is it? You think? I don't know. It's also a busy week. I mean, I was in Philadelphia half the time and whatever.
Frankly, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
I had a great time in Philadelphia, but you know what? There's few places I'd rather be than right here in front of a microphone doing what we do.
Although you do enjoy your Saturday gig.
Yeah, that's the other place I kind of enjoy being and doing what I do. The Saturday gig is StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live, where I host...
How'd I know you want to plug that?
Thank you, man. It's a talk variety cabaret show where we bring together like Tony nominees and cabaret musicians and also magic acts and sometimes
comedians.
A theater critic and stand-up comedians. That's right, Jeff. So come see it. It's free to get in. 6 o'clock Saturday nights at the Times Square Art Center in Manhattan, 669 8th Avenue. That's on 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd, 669 8th Avenue. For more information, please go to StageBuddy.com. You can see a little trailer there, and within the week, they're going to get up at least the first show that we did, so you can watch and see for yourselves what we do at StageBuddy.com. And speaking of websites, please, everybody, check out DavesGoneBy.org, DavesGoneBy.org. You can find out about this program. You can hear dozens and dozens of older episodes. We have every episode that we have done going all the way back to March of 2004, from, you know, till now, and then we'll get this show up sometime during the week. So go to davesgoneby.org for that and so much more. It's also one of the gateways to totaltheater.com, and that's a place where you can read thousands of theater reviews and articles from all over the world. totaltheater.com. Okay, couple of other reminders. Shalom, damn it. Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour airs on Long Island Cablevision Wednesdays at 8 in the morning on Channel 115 and Fridays at 4:30 in the morning on Channel 20. You can also catch them if you're in Manhattan on Manhattan Neighborhood Network Cable Sunday afternoons 1:30 on Channel 67. Or if that's way too much for you to keep in your heads, all you gotta do is go to YouTube.com, YouTube, and look for Shalom Damn it. A couple of quick reminders. Jeff's looking at me like I'm taking his time to get out of here. Meanwhile, we've been here since 2:06. We can wait
I'm
a little while.
I'm ready to go home now, David.
All right, well, you know what? Go to the bathroom and let me close out the show.
Oh, thanks. Well, tell everyone my little business.
You've been telling my business for the past hour and a half, so go ahead. Do your little doodly-doos and curlicues and whatever else you need to do, and I'll do these get-well shout-out Mazel Tov plug things.
Someone's going to be walking home at 2 in the morning.
On February 4th at B.B. King's Blues Club, go see David Bromberg and his band. Bromberg was a guest on our show about 2 years ago. He's a really legendary folk guitarist, and he was a really cool guest to have. So February 4th, catch his show. That's this week. It's on Wednesday at the B.B. King Blues Club on 42nd Street in Manhattan, David Bromberg and his big band. Also, got an email that now through February 8th, the Museum of Bad Art in Massachusetts is auctioning off works to help save the Rose Collection. Now, that's a different collection of really good art that's being threatened because of the whole economic situation. So, in this brotherly kind of way, the Museum of Bad Art is helping a museum of good art. Louise Sacco, who is one of the curators there, she was on our show a few months back, so wanted to get this plug out for her. Now through February 8th, check out museumofbadart.org, and you can bid and buy a piece of really horrendous art and be helping some good art in the process. museumofbadart.org. Okay, time for the thank yous on this extended, super extended, elongated version of Dave's Gone By. Thank you so much to James Morgan of the York Theater Company. Really nice to have him talk about theater and stuff like that. And also, I totally and very highly recommend Enter Laughing. That's their hit show that they've just brought back. It's going to be on for a few weeks. So by all means, go see it at the York Theater, Enter Laughing. And thanks again to Jim Morgan. And thanks also to David Gersten for helping set that interview up. I want to thank Dave J. for writing the interstitial music that we use on the show. I never even got to play it, so let me play the interstitial...
Wait.
Yeah, Jeff?
There's a big problem.
What's the big problem?
The urinal's broken.
You're kidding me.
And you know what?
What?
That means there's no place to pass out.
See, you had to have been listening about 45 minutes ago to get that reference, but that's what this show does. Weaves a bunch of references in. Oh, and so anyway, thank you to Dave J., for writing this little piece.
Dave's gone by.
There goes the neighborhood.
Dave's gone by.
There goes the neighborhood.
Dave's gone by.
There goes the
neighborhood.
Dave's gone by.
That's Dave J. We use that stuff, and sometimes I forget to give him credit for it, but he's a very talented musician. He's also an actor, and he's doing his show, John Paul George Ringo, again. I think it's in an open run now, believe at the Soho Playhouse. So check it out, John Paul George Ringo. He plays all four of the Beatles, and he takes audience questions, and it's kind of neat. Well, thank you, Jeff Goodman, for being part of Dave's Gone By on this super, super Sunday.
You're welcome, Dave.
Hope you had a good time stretching this show out and being a little looser than we normally do. And thanks also to my beloved and adorable and wonderful great wife. Saw her in Philadelphia this weekend.
Her name is Joyce.
Her name is Joyce. At this hour, I can't remember anybody's name. And I love her very much, and she knows that, too.
Well, thank the gospel people for not showing up.
Yeah, right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for giving us this evening. And thanks, really, they've been a help to us over the past couple of months. So thank you to James Hodge and to Michelle. And a big shout-out to them. Want to also tell you and remind you that because we're going to be traipsing through the wilds of North Dakota next week, Dave's Gone By will not be on next Sunday.
Be on sabbatical.
We've been taking a couple of weeks off here and there just because of the weather, and I've been incredibly busy and having other projects to do. But
Dave's an important person.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, I'm on Times Square, man. And not just walking the streets like I used to.
You're not on Times Square. You're blocks out. You're a block west.
Well, you're right. We're on 8th Avenue, but it's a Times Square theater, so technically I'm in Times Square.
No. Times Square is just...
All right. I'm in the Times rectangle.
You're in the theater district.
I'm near
district.
The Times building.
You're in the theater district.
Yeah. Yes, I am, actually. I know. Very much so. So there you go.
But you're also almost in Port Authority, so...
Yeah, that too. I mean, we're in a building that used to be a porno palace, so that's the best.
You're in the Porn Authority.
Good, I like that. All right, nicely done. So anyway, Dave's Gone By. Hopefully, we should be back, not next Sunday, but on Sunday, February 15th.
February.
I can't say February at this time of night. It's not February.
It's February.
Right. Oh, you know what I think? You know what today is?
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
That means we just keep going this over and over and over.
Wait, let's start the show from the beginning. Hold on. There we go.
There goes the neighborhood.
We got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island.
I know that voice.
Where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host,
Dave Lefkowitz.
Here comes
my favorite part, the part where
we keep mentioning
his name all the time.
You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
We can replay all the commercials, too. I'm sure our sponsors
will be... Yeah, let's
call,
call the guy from New York Theater. He'd really appreciate that in Florida.
You know, it's the same time zone. No, he would not. If there was someone in California, we could almost, but no. No, I think we're...
There went the neighborhood.
Are you getting a second wind? Do you want to stay
no.
out? No. I'm wondering, because you seem very suddenly bushy-tailed and
because I think we're going to leave soon.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm trying to get through this last bit, telling everybody we won't be here next week, but we will be here on the 15th, God willing, of February.
Which is not the Ides of February.
Oh, that's how we got to it. February, which led us to Groundhog Day, which is today, the 2nd of February. Got it.
Which leads us to?
Leads us to what?
Play the intro music again.
There goes the neighborhood.
Oh, I get it. Groundhog Day.
David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Yeah, but where's Andy McDowell, you know?
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight!
Yes, there goes the neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. It's Monday morning now. It's about 2:17 a.m. on this Monday, which, by the way, I pronounce it February, not Feb-U. Why did you say it was February?
It's February.
Exactly. It's February. And you know what? Turns out, you know what day this is?
It's Groundhog Day.
There goes the neighborhood.
We got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody. It's now it's Monday morning on this extended edition of Dave's Gone By on this February 2nd now. Is it February or February?
Jeff? I think it's February.
I think,
that's
yeah.
That's how it's spelled.
How it should be pronounced. But you know what today is, though?
It's Groundhog Day.
There goes the Daverhood.
The guy David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By on this, well, it's a Monday morning, kind of early in the morning, an extended edition of Dave's Gone By on this February 2nd. Is it? No, I'm pretty sure it's February, but you were pronouncing February. Which one is it?
It's spelled February.
Right. It is February. It's February 2nd, which, you know what day it is?
Oh, it's Groundhog Day.
There goes the Daverhood.
The guy David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for...
Do you think we're driving people to suicide with this?
Talk and music.
What I like is the fact that you're bopping along with your own theme song.
You've never oh, come on, it's great. It's like Captain Beefheart's Tropical Hot Dog Night. It's a classic
Here's
song.
The host of Dave's Gone By, Dave.
Oh, actually, you know what I did find out? This made me so... It made me a little depressed in a way, because I like to think that I'm a little bit unique and out there and clever and different and thinking of things that other people wouldn't think of. Someone told me, and I'm trying to remember where and in what context, that they knew of someone who did a radio show in either a college or on a small station. Oh, no, this is one of the crew members at Stage Buggy, where I do that Saturday show.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew somebody who did a radio program, I think, for their college, and they did it for about a year or two. And their theme song, their opening number, was Tropical Hot Dog Night by Captain Beefheart. And I was like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. It occurred to me now, that maybe they copied me, because I've used this theme song for 6 years now, and this guy's pretty young. So he probably just came out of that whole college situation. So
poor Dave, struggling to be original.
Yeah, and then suddenly either I unwittingly did something that somebody else did, or just the idea that I thought I was so cool. Like, who else would put Tropical Hot Dog Night to open a show?
Some
and
kid
somebody
in college.
Did. Yeah. Man.
On
oh,
that
well.
Terrible note.
On that terrible note.
2:22 in the morning.
On this, what is it, February 2nd? Yeah, is it February or I think it's February. That's the way it's supposed to pronounce it.
It's spelled February.
February. Yeah, it is February. And February 2nd, according to the calendar, you know what day it is?
Yeah, I think it's Groundhog Day. Stop that!
Greetings from Long. Okay.
And I go along with it. I'm just as
You instigated it. It was your idea. It was very funny. I took a minute to catch on to what you were doing. Oh, Lord. Well, anyway, it is Groundhog Day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see if Punk's the Tawny Phil. I'll have the music going while we do it.
Is it Groundhog Day?
Well, it is February.
Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
I do hope Punxsutawney Phil sees or doesn't see or whatever will give us a shorter winter.
We want
it's a
him
sucky
to not
January.
See his shadow.
Nazi means it's a...
It's going to be... There are not 6 more
He sees
weeks
a Nazi
winter.
Shadow.
No, if he sees his shadow, he goes back into his hut, which means it's because he gets scared of a shadow.
Which means...
6 more weeks of winter.
But if he doesn't see your shadow, it's longer or less?
Less.
Ah, so we don't want him to see his shadow.
Right.
Good. Well, don't.
In other words, we want it to be a sunny. We don't want it to be a sunny day for some reason.
Good Lord, whatever. Has he actually told the truth the last couple of years? I don't even.
Yeah, I think Staten Island Chuck's been better. It's a real one.
And just eat him the next day. You know that. Can you eat a groundhog?
Yes.
Have you ever?
No.
Do you know what? Is it rodential? Is it? Do you know what it tastes like?
It's a rodent. It'll probably taste like chicken.
Yeah, come to think of it. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, come on, have you actually looked under the coating of a Kentucky Fried Chicken recently?
Kentucky Fried Groundhog.
You don't want to be eating Kentucky Fried Chicken on, like, February 3rd.
Ooh. You know what day today is?
Well, today is February 2nd. That would put it.
It's Groundhog Day.
We got David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Okay, that'll be enough of that.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise.
Maybe you could do it on the car on the fly ride home.
Oh, yeah, I'll torture you with this for the whole ride, definitely. With your host. Well, anywho, are we ready to pack
exit
up and
the building.
Go? Yeah, it's 2:25 a.m. here on... No, if I start going there, we'll do this over and over again. It's time to leave the neighborhood. Boo-hoo. But I will be back in two...
But it is Groundhog Day.
No, wait. You got to give me a chance to dive bomb to the... Now you have to say that over again.
It is Groundhog Day.
Radio show.
Okay, continue what you're saying.
Greetings from
with background music.
Well, Jeff, unfortunately, is going away, but I will be back... Not next week, but Sunday night, February 15th, for the 304th episode of this insane show, Dave's Gone By. Until then...
It's Groundhog Day!
No, stop. Stop now. Don't miss your days going by, whether they're shadowy or not. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff. It's Groundhog Day! Goodman!
Wishing you good night. Wherever you go, may you enter and leave laughing and not see your shadow.
And gone by.
And the restoration play was all right.